The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress.
We've been coming to the same party for 12 years now, and in no way is that depressing.
With Fred Kirsch.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books, and my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
The only way to bag a classy lady is to give her two tickets to the gun show and see if she likes the goods.
Just doing my workout. It's a deep burn. So deep.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. My left one is
Quinn,
and my right one,
Mendenhall.
You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
Eric Scalavino.
Veronica and I are trying this new fad called jogging. I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J.
For now, anyway.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You have a massive erection.
Really? Yes, I do. I'm sorry. It's the pleats.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight.
Boo!
Afternoon delight.
Whoop!
Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
Once again, the show gets in the way.
It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium. And, boy, I'll tell you, the Twittersphere really lit up this morning. One Darrell Revis felt like it was in his place to call our coach a jerk.
Told you. Well. Told you, Andy.
What do you mean, well?
He was asked.
I know, but that's completely inappropriate. You don't do that.
Why?
Well, first of all, he was...
You don't do that.
He was doing an appearance with Gronk.
He didn't call Gronk a jerk.
No, but that put Gronk in a tough position.
The best part with Gronk's reaction was like his eyes bugged out and he looked at the camera like, uh-oh.
So I wonder.
Kind of like Paul and He Who Should Not Be Named were fighting. And I was like, whoa.
I wonder if Rex Ryan will bench him for the first series of the opening game.
I doubt it.
That'd be interesting.
You know?
I doubt it too.
I thought that was kind of weird.
Oh, it was a little weird.
He
unexpected.
Asked for, like a one word.
I don't think Revis is a good guy.
But
no.
But
to his own team, to the other
first
team.
Of all, if you actually cared about any of the other stuff, it's pretty clear that he might not be the only source, but he's a main one of right. All that locker room stuff.
He was using a lot of the same phrases that the unnamed sources were using.
Locker room. Yeah. Disarray.
Right.
Jeez, I wonder where they got all that stuff
yesterday
from.
Yesterday as one of the sources.
Well, okay. Well, I was
Tebow, he's gonna have Sanchez work a little bit harder. No, well, not that needed, you know, he needed.
Not that I said like a month ago that, you know, Sanchez needs to be pushed.
So it's clear if you listen to all those comments that he's the guy that was.
So does that rule out like us getting Darrell Revis on the backside of his career?
I don't think so. I think Bill, he'll say one of the best things about Bill is if he still can play,
right,
he'll get him.
That is, I agree with you. That is one of Bill's best qualities.
That's true. But, you know, I'm just wondering.
That's two Hall of Fame cornerbacks have called him a jerk and a liar.
But I'm just wondering, you know, when it comes to Bill Belichick talking about the Jets. I don't think he's ever said anything bad about Darrell Revis.
Maybe not publicly.
Media, but about the Jets he has.
And maybe
not like through the media. He wouldn't do it through the media. And, but like on the field.
I don't know what he said on the field.
Well, like putting up 37 on the best defense in the history of football.
Okay, yeah. I remember that one.
What do you think he's talking about?
Oh, I don't know.
And by the way, before you yell at me, in no way do I think what Revis said was appropriate.
Right.
Okay, so I don't really want to go into this one. I don't want to get yelled at for the next 2 hours.
Right.
I don't think it was appropriate
but why
that
is it
Rivas
inappropriate?
Go. What? I'm just it listen, to me it's irrelevant, but it doesn't it's not appropriate.
He's
I don't
big
think
boy,
to be
he can say what he wants. Right? Well,
listen,
if that's the way he feels,
he can.
Say it.
Well, why, but I'm just telling you, he said he was asked why, and he said for all the things that Belichick has said about the Jets,
right.
Bad things. And everybody's like, Belichick would never say anything bad. Well, of course he would.
Well, that
he just wouldn't do it at a press conference. Yeah, he does it on the field.
That one thing, you know, obviously he got caught on the mic talking to his kid. You know, so, yeah, I can
and
see.
And you know that that's not the only thing
of course,
that ilk
yeah,
that
right.
he's done.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, during the course of a game, if he's shouting stuff out or,
right.
or saying
Rivas
snide things when Rivas is
like
on
that.
The sideline
yeah.
there,
because
right. Rivas, you know, half the game he's on that side of the field.
Right.
Right.
He's
going to
hear stuff, I would imagine.
And again, I'm not saying that that's, well, he's well within his rights.
I am.
Whatever.
Well,
he's
within his rights.
He's
no, you
no,
might not
no,
agree with
saying,
what he says.
I'm not saying
but,
that you have to say, well, that he should take that as, you know, I can call him a jerk, whatever.
But what about that rule of, you know, what's said on the field stays on the field? I mean, we've had some things in the NBA that have gotten out, and people were criticized for outing guys for saying things on the court. You know, the playing field is the heat of battle. Things that are said there,
but
stay
he didn't
there.
Say what he said. He's just saying he's
no,
a jerk.
No, I know.
And he was
but,
asked
but
why,
think,
and he said for all the bad things he said about the Jets. I'm speculating
stuff. You know, I don't know.
I'm speculating that a lot of the bad stuff that Belichick said about the Jets is probably.
On,
off the record,
yeah.
not stuff in press
right.
conferences.
Because the stuff he says in public
right.
on the record is glowing.
Glowing.
Right.
Right.
So the only time he could say something bad is if he were in a situation
right.
where he didn't think there were any mics on.
By the way, he didn't say Belichick was a bad coach or he wouldn't want
no.
to play for him. He
right.
just said he's a jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bet you a lot of that is Tannenbaum. I blame everything of the Jets on Tannenbaum. You know. Anyway, well, it's good. It's good for the border war.
Yes.
You know.
Tebow, you add a couple more spices this offseason to the border war.
Right. They might have Tebowing, but we have Gronking, and Gronking is cooler. There's no doubt about it, right?
And Gronk can actually play, which makes it cooler.
Right.
That's the major difference.
Right.
What's Gronking? I'm sorry. I apologize.
Spiking the ball.
Oh, that's
yeah.
called Gronking?
That's called Gronking now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I like Gronk if you love Duncan. Honk your horn now.
Right.
Gronk means honk, apparently, right. in that way.
Gronk is like, remember Smurfs when you, in the
no.
cartoon?
Gargamel?
Yeah, but everything they did was smurfing. Like,
right.
You could use Smurf for anything.
Right, that's what Gronk
Gronking
is.
Now the same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, if you're banging a hot chick, you're Gronking. Mm. If you're drinking,
you're Gronking.
It's a life. It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle
right,
thing.
Right.
It's Gronking.
Right.
He did look good, though, on there. Like, comfortable, just kind of that suave.
Yeah.
Except when he said jerk. And, ooh.
was this on ESPN?
Yeah, again? He did the car wash, which everybody now just calls the car wash. Like, he tweeted, I went through the ESPN car wash. That has now become
well,
this,
that's what
like,
they call it.
No, I know, but it's one thing for insiders to call it. But now it's an out, like, they just say it like the people who read his tweets are going to know what the car wash is. Maybe they think there's actually a car wash in Bristol.
Right.
That's what ESPN means to go through everything. He
right.
was on, you know, ESPN Boston Radio. He was on Fan Nation.
Right.
He was on SportsCenter. But that's what they mean by it. But I
it's
like
their assembly line.
It's become an accepted term that you can use publicly.
Yeah.
The car wash.
I wish we had a car wash. I mean, we have the elements.
We
but
have
no
the
one
car wash. We don't have a car.
Right.
We have the brushes, the soap, the
right.
water.
Right.
You know, just don't have any cars.
Nope. Don't you think it would? What would you think about an idea in the off season of Gronk having like a 1 hour show, his own Gronk show?
I think
with
it's
a host.
Gold.
No, with a host.
Absolute gold, and no way it'll happen.
Why?
Because he's dangerous. You're dangerous.
I'll go on record as predicting that it will happen.
I don't think it will. Not here.
Why
yeah.
Not?
Yep. I predict it will happen here too.
Well, I don't know.
What is he saying over here?
I don't know.
I may have overheard a conversation. That
I think it's
that
gold. But if you're going to do it, you might as well put it on national radio because I think it would be literally gold.
You also might as well have get the tribute sections to Bill Belichick ready because he shan't be coaching in other games.
Well, you already think he's in retirement, semi-retirement.
Semi.
No, but I think that you talk about almost. 10% is football and the rest is Gronk. You know,
that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Lord, I mean, what is the give He's, me the other 90%? Go.
What does he watch on TV? What is his favorite
Could
shows,
be a problem.
Movies?
Could be a problem.
You know, well, books.
Where do you vacation?
The playbook. That's what
no,
he reads.
No, but there's plenty
Who's your
of stuff
porn
you talk
star?
About. You know, I'm sure there are stories from when he was with his brothers growing up that would make people roll off their seats.
I'm sure there were.
And probably there were just teenage antics and young kid antics and stuff like that. It would be fascinating. It'd be
it
great
would
stuff.
Be gold. I agree.
Yeah.
It won't be good.
We'll see. Anyway,
I just don't think it's something Belichick.
So I thought that was interesting this morning, the whole Darrell Revis thing. I thought I'd throw that out there. What else do you have, Patriots wise? I know things have been a little quiet. You were at the Gronk thing the other day. Eric just came back from the owners' meetings, and he's here. So at some point, we'll get a full update from Eric. I know a lot of it was rules stuff yesterday.
Yesterday was the dominant.
Yeah, and they passed some, right?
They passed most of them, actually.
Yeah.
They tabled some.
They
too.
Tabled some, which are going to be passed probably at the end of
Did
May.
Did they shoot any down?
Yes, two. And two that were proposed by teams. Buffalo suggested turning the all replays over to the replay official, taking that away from the. You agree with Buffalo?
Yes.
Well, it got shut down, so
I know.
That's not happening.
I agree with that, though.
I also agree with you, Fred.
And the reason I think that might not have passed was because I think taking that responsibility away from the refs, whom Goodell has said eventually wants to be full-time people, I think sort of contradicts...
Oh, he did say that?
Rich McKay...
What's stopping him now?
Well... I think he needs to get a little bit more support, but I was just speculating as to why it might have failed. I think the owner, Rich McKay, said during the meetings that Goodell's been a big proponent of getting, you know, full-time officiating at some point.
I still say put it up on the booth.
I do, too.
I don't understand what those two things, and I know Rich McKay said it, so I'm not necessarily
I think because if you're
you,
going to, if you're going to.
I don't understand what. The decision to have the replays just handled in the booth have to do with full-time officiating.
Oh, well, because so much responsibility right now is in the hands of the ref on the field. And if they're full-time, why are you taking away responsibilities from a full-time
position?
Yeah,
but on the first, I could say that they're admitting now then that by not being full-time, they're not as good as they could be.
But don't
I disagree with that.
Well, I do too, but it's a different argument, which is kind of why I didn't really understand.
Yeah.
If you make it to the booth, for a review, aren't you just adding a referee to the crew?
Right.
But there's already a person there.
But I would argue that.
Right.
But
it's
a person.
Exactly.
There's already
a person there.
And that's my
there.
Argument.
Right.
You have, it's two different jobs.
Absolutely.
One guy's job is to call things live speed on the field. The other guy's job already is to watch things on video, rewind them, watch them again, and decide, does it need to go down to the
right.
official? You've already separated the powers, so to speak. I don't know why you wouldn't give the guy who practices every play.
Right.
Doing it rather than saying, okay, you're a referee, so 150 snaps a game you make calls on live, and then 3 snaps a game we put you on video under a hood. And the other issue is, then he doesn't have to call out his own guy. He doesn't have to take away a call that one of his crew members made, so you've removed that personal interaction.
I think it was 1997.
I like the idea.
I wrote,
by the way.
I do too.
In PFW in 1997, my concept for the instant replay, my concept for the instant replay would be more like college from the beginning, where the ref has a buzzer, he makes a call on the field. The guy up in the booth has a certain amount of time. If he sees that that's wrong, he buzzes down to the ref. We're reviewing it.
Right.
Otherwise, there's no stoppage in play.
I agree.
Mm.
I love it. I like the college rule. And then you eliminate all this stuff where you say all scoring plays are reviewed. Then all turnover plays are reviewed.
Right.
Except if you don't score, it's not reviewed, and
well,
now you need a check. If
but
you
now
just
it
go
is,
to the
right?
college, yeah. But if you just go to the college rule, everything is reviewed, and they know when it's reviewable. Even in college, the officials will kind of mosey around and take a little time because they know the guy's
They know
reviewed.
When there's a close play.
You know that there's 5 plays a game that are going to be reviewed upstairs, and they might call for an official review.
Right.
I just think it works.
And that is one of the that's one of the things they did pass was an amendment to the reviewing plays that are reviewable, specific turnovers, fumbles. A runner going out of bounds in the process of recovering a fumble is now reviewable, and recoveries of backwards passes that are deemed incomplete are now reviewable.
Okay.
So they did pass that thing. And then the other one that didn't pass was they wanted to add to the horse collar rule, not just runners, but quarterbacks who are in the pocket, and that got shot down. So you can still, I guess, horse collar a quarterback who's in the pocket.
Okay.
The turnover thing, because maybe I didn't hear this right. I thought they just said that turnovers were now treated as scoring plays.
No.
All turnovers were to be reviewed.
No, not all turnovers.
I mean, you know, not reviewed on the field.
Right.
But your process that you already explained, Andy. The guys upstairs watching. You know, if Bledsoe just hits Troy Polamalu in the chest, see, I can pick on my guy, and he picks it off. There's nothing to see here. It's clearly a turnover. We don't have to stop play. But if it's like something that Eric described where Maybe it's a question of whether or not he had his feet in bounds as he caught it. Did he have possession before he went out of bounds? Maybe we want to take an extra look at that. You know, without the ref, without the coaches have to challenge it.
Right.
That's what I thought. All turnovers were subject to review.
Right.
And
but they're not
much like scoring plays last year. The overwhelming percentage, 95% of scoring plays, did not get looked at.
Exactly. And that's you hear so many people.
Another way to stop the game.
They only do it when there's a question. Right.
I like the amendment of the scoring plays because, as we talked about last year, it was sort of an inequity there with defense. You know, if he got in, it was a scoring play, but if he didn't quite get in, it was not fair to the offense if they had to.
Right.
They had to throw a challenge flag if the guy's ruled out of bounds, you know, at the pylon.
Right.
If he was ruled out, then the offense would have to challenge it, whereas the defense had a chance. If they ruled it a score, the defense didn't have to waste a challenge and say,
the burden
wasn't he didn't
on
get
them.
In.
Right.
And somebody did bring that up to Goodell saying, you know, why don't the officials just err on the side of caution and
call it.
And he said, well, you know, our emphasis is to get it right the first time. Yeah. So call it how you see it.
I believe that.
I agree with that, too. Yeah. I don't think you err on any side.
But I think, again,
I think it's probably human nature that you do
with
it.
With the college system, if they thought it was close, they could buzz and it would be reviewed, whether it was a called a score or not.
But I did think they were going to do away with the whole, you know, under the hood nonsense.
That's
what wastes time.
You know, this older guy running 70 yards to get to a to a replay booth. You know,
and I love when Felger goes off on his rants and he just completely takes down Ed Hockley. And they did you hear the explanation of the overtime rules before the Pittsburgh-Denver game?
Oh, yeah.
In other words, he literally spoke for like 3 minutes.
You would think by now they would have a script that they have to say when describing
Well, they probably do, but he thinks it's inadequate.
Right. Oh, my God. All right. Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Warren Ladd writes in, happy 17th birthday to PFW. I think it is exactly 17 years today that we published our first issue, and we're now going into our 18th season.
Wow. Fred, you should be commended for this. You should be proud of
that. How the hell with it? Who cares?
Wow. This the man.
Everything was so good yesterday when I had my review.
1-800-494-PATS in order to
At least you had it yesterday.
1-800-494-PATS.
I got mine
today. Or go to iTunes
and
download the iPad app for only $19.99 a year. So there's a lot of ways you can get great content here at the New England Patriots.
Content.
What else?
Great.
What else? He's worried about Gronkowski getting
in. What do you think about
the fact that we've been doing this for the amount of years we have, and we haven't gotten in trouble with him, means that Gronkowski can have his own show for 3 hours and we'd be okay.
See, I think Andy and I are on different sides of the fence. I'm not necessarily worried about Gronkowski getting in trouble as much as Andy is. I think that Bill Belichick wants one of his players having a radio show. Don't think he wants
that. It's monitored with a host.
See Miller, Josh.
Again, we're still talking about...
who did like a month long and then
we're talking about
off.
What actually says. Oh, yeah. I don't think that's what he's worried about.
Can I host it?
Well, there would be hosts here. What the other thing I'm thinking about...
I want to be on a show. Great. The two of you getting
you know,
in trouble.
Whether it's Gronk...
I'd be sitting there like...
Whether or not it's Gronk, I would love for our Tuesday show to have a player.
Sure.
Like for the first 15 minutes, talking about the game... Maybe take a couple emails or whatever, just for like 15 minutes. You know, a regular segment.
That could be Gronk?
On the
Tuesday show. Is that what you're saying?
It could be, or another player. I don't care. It's their day off, but a lot of players.
They're already here anyway.
Guys are still here anyway. You know, why not?
Mayo's already here every Tuesday. We know that. So
the other thing we were thinking about is, you know, they all have to do community stuff on Tuesday. Well, why not on the way back, because they get driven back and forth with somebody from PR, they call in. You know, they're sitting in a car.
Sure.
They're not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Have them call in. So we're thinking of those things, you know.
It's good.
And it promotes their community service.
Yeah. What did you just do? Mm-hmm. Get that out of the way. Okay, let's talk about the game.
Is this the man?
Well, you know.
No, but that's how you set it up.
It's dangerous today.
That's how they do those things on the radio. The guy writes a book, and at the end of the interview, now you just wrote a book. Okay.
So tell us about the book.
Right. We got to go now.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're kill two birds.
Joe Montana, tell us why you're here at the Super Bowl.
He's always doing those things.
That guy's peddling something at all times.
Joint juice or some cheap sneaker.
You know, because he's so bland.
No.
Although he's been doing Skechers for a while, right? Isn't he a Skechers guy?
Yeah. Montana?
He did LA Lights or whatever, LA Gear originally.
Oh, LA Gear maybe is what he did.
He did do Skechers, though, too.
Or as Al Perillo would say, La Gear.
Oh, yeah. He did the...
the girls' ones, like the rolling sneakers.
Right.
And he's like, I feel so good, I'm going to make a comeback or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But
didn't work.
He wouldn't be the guy that I'd pick to be my spokesman.
No.
He's so bland.
I tell you who I pick, Rob Gronkowski.
Right. No matter what he does, it goes viral.
Well,
Yep.
Yep. Yeah.
More literally.
Yeah.
Or who? No. All right. Web radio at patriots.com. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Did I get lunch? Did we order lunch?
No.
Did you not order?
Yeah, he ordered lunch.
Oh, okay. Who's paying?
IK.
You.
Oh, I am?
Just gets that look again.
I'm paying. Yeah.
I was
planning on playing.
I don't have
myself.
Any cash.
I'll pay.
I don't carry cash.
You don't?
No.
Really?
I really don't. I
don't generally either.
Really do I have more than a few bucks in my pocket.
I never do.
I use my debit card for everything.
We were in, you know, at Loserpalooza in Richmond, Andy. I figured you'd like that. And it was one of those, I put it on my credit card and everybody gave me money. Now, what's this? It's like a full month ago. I'm still working off the money.
That's how
little cash I use.
Really?
I never use cash.
That's how I always end up with cash. If somebody pays me something, they owe me in cash, and then I spend it for a while.
I'd rather have more cash on hand.
A lot of people owe you money? Is that what you're saying?
I don't like to have an empty wallet, but I don't like to have a lot of cash in it either.
Did you talk to your guy with the auger yet?
I didn't yet.
Because I got a guy yesterday.
Then take him.
Not about the...
One man, two man?
Not about the hole digging.
No man.
I got a guy who's going to clear all the land I need and cut down the trees.
How
for
much?
A reasonable price.
How much?
It's about 6,000 square feet.
$1 million.
For about $2,500. He's going to take down 11 trees.
Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So we're all in.
I think so.
I mean, if you're spending $2,500,
well, I wanted the land cleared
anyway,
so I could always stop there.
That's true.
You know, the fencing is my next thing.
Okay.
I know I can get 200 feet of the woven wire fence that I really want for $385 for the roll. So I need two rolls.
Woven wire.
So that's like $800 for that. And then the fence posts are, you know, I have to buy those as well.
4x4s?
Well, for my end ones, I
make
the big ones, and then I don't need big ones for the in the middle. You know,
so probably 4x4s. You don't want anything less than a 4x4.
I don't need big ones.
Stop it, Paul.
Round ones.
We're not on TV.
No, I know.
I don't need big
it's
ones.
Making me, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So you're all in, though. I can tell you're in. Fred,
maybe I'll get
chickens.
Did we say whether we were going to start with babies and grow them?
You're
going to
sometime I might get a baby, but
you're
going to
start with the full grown ones
to begin.
Adults.
Yeah.
Sires.
No,
what's it called?
Men.
No,
geldings?
I don't know. The ones that can get the job done. The
$10,000. So they can't get the job done.
Well, you geld them if they get a little bit too
rambunctious.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah. Yeah, with my teeth.
Oh.
What's his name did that? Greg Rugemer.
Gray.
What?
Gray Rugemer.
Did what?
To
did
what?
Off the balls of
with
something
teeth.
With his teeth.
What?
Goat?
Yeah, that's what
something.
They do.
I'm not even a goat.
It's a procedure. They have to use their mouth at some point.
Oh, good God. No, you don't.
Oh, don't pretend you've never had a
mouth. Anything
Remember
else
we
the...
were talking about the show?
Arabian Goggles?
You know, if we actually got a real show and what, you know, what should we change? That might be one that you might want
to
leave.
What? I didn't say anything. It was left to the imagination, which is sometimes better.
It was not left to anybody's imagination.
What else at the owner's meeting do you want to point out?
I
know a lot of it is already up on the web.
Well,
but,
did we get all the rules changes? Did I miss anything?
Well, the playoff is going to be all season.
Yes. Overtime is going to be
playoff is going to be all season.
Overtime playoff rules
you know what I mean.
Will apply
I
during
know,
the during the re- during the regular season.
Right. They tabled IR.
They tabled
the, changed IR.
For now. Yeah, the instituting the one roster spot per team to bring a player back from IR.
Now, can you clarify for me? That's
sure.
only in training camp in the first week, the injury?
No.
Oh.
That's when it can begin. It can begin after game one.
So you
can get
an 8-week window.
You have to.
If a guy gets hurt in week 7, you can keep him out till 15 and bring him back?
Yes. There has to be enough time left in the season for him to fill out those 8 weeks.
Including postseason or no?
No. I believe it's just regular season. So the latest you could assign a guy to that would be week 8 because he could come back in week 17.
So is this a specialist or anybody that was on IR? You can choose one.
The idea, they said, was for it to be a major injury to a significant player.
Uh-huh.
Now,
this is what they do.
No.
But it doesn't have to be.
Not,
a
it doesn't have
player,
to be.
A, that's the
idea behind it.
And
was,
that's what it would be, because no team is going to put Ray Ventrone on the eight and
right.
waste its spot.
But here's what I'm right. That's why I asked. Is it a specialist or anybody?
No,
that was put
anybody.
On IR?
Anybody but, can be subject to it. But the idea behind it was a player like, say, Tom Brady.
Tommy wanted him back late in the year.
Got hurt so early in the year that he might have had enough time to recover and potentially play that season.
Right.
You could have, if you wanted to, brought him back at some point if you thought he was going to be ready.
Right.
So that was the idea for a significant player. Now, obviously, if a guy who's like the 53rd man on your roster goes on IR, chances are you're not going right. to be dying to bring him back.
It's not
anyway.
A police
you're
itself.
But,
right.
But what yeah. I don't, I'm kind of with Fred on this.
But
and,
why
and,
put that verbiage
yeah, why,
in
no,
there?
No, I don't think that was the verbiage.
No, but why?
It was, that wasn't
think,
the verbiage. That was the idea.
Don't you think they overcomplicate
that,
it?
Yes, that's what they do.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Fred on this.
I have one foul in my league.
I mean, you have this whole thing, and I think we've talked about it. I think we're all in agreement that some sort of injured reserve in football would be a smart thing.
And they're starting out slowly with this one, and they're going to tweak the language.
Why one player for 8 weeks? Like, why does it have to be so overcomplicated?
I think I don't know. I
think
and then to use
what would the alternative be?
What would you can just pick your whatever you want to say? It's 8 weeks. Okay, you can put guys on IR for 8 weeks.
Wow, right. But you can't have a ton of them.
Why?
People would manipulate that.
So
by
what?
People, I mean.
But so what? You have to lose a guy for 8 weeks. You can't just like do the Belichick thing from last year when you're having guys on and off the roster based on each individual.
Yeah, but you don't think Lee weeks. Smith and Will Yeatman would have been on the disabled list to start the year?
So what?
What advantage
like,
is
what,
that?
Yeah, what do you get
they
out
were
of?
Released and ended up on other rosters.
Oh, to protect players?
It now becomes a second taxi squad or developmental squad.
Okay, so you put a cap on how many. You can do two. You know, whatever.
I think that's why they're starting with one
and
going with half the season.
I don't
season.
Look at that as a deterrent. I mean, I have no doubt that Andy's right, that teams would do that, but I don't really necessarily think that's a bad thing.
Well, the Players Association may not
you
like
don't,
it.
But they get paid. What would the Players Association care?
But they don't get to play. They're not developing. I mean, there's...
Yeah, they lose accrual time. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, they get an accrued season if they're on IR.
Yeah, if you're
do
on IR, you
oh,
do.
Do you?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but this is an IR, so I don't know what that rule is. This is now the disabled
well, I would
list,
think it would,
right?
No, that would still... You would still get accrued
the other thing that I...
Crediting on it.
Yeah,
because because theoretically, you'd be coming back and still playing that season. So
yeah, but you could be cut right after that, too.
Now, my other question is right. You know...
Suppose
the example everybody used was Brady. Now, forgetting about what we feel, whether or not Tommy would have been able to come back, because we all are in agreement that
oh,
he
hell
have.
No.
I mean, first of all, he
sucked when he came back.
In his specific case, he suffered complications.
Right.
And, you know, there was a time there that Tom Curran thought he wasn't even going to be ready for training camp the following year.
But before that, maybe they had talked about, look, if things go, I'll put, you know,
let me get
that.
To this. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Week one, he tears his ACL, and in week nine, he's ready to play?
Right, no way.
Because it's 8 weeks, right?
8 weeks.
Yeah, you can have start to come back in
you
eight
can
weeks,
start
you?
Practicing. You can start practicing the player after 6 weeks.
And so you don't have to make a decision? You can just leave him on IR, is what you're saying?
And you can start practicing him after the 6 weeks, and then by week eight, got to be back up.
Oh, so he does have to.
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Well, then you could just place him on IR.
And that's another thing that I think it's overcomplicated. Just, you know,
and now this
like,
is,
like
now
in
Paul.
Baseball, you know, you put a guy on the disabled list for 15 days. Well, if he's not ready to come back on the 16th day, you don't have to make a decision.
But here's the thing, Paul.
He's still on DL,
right.
on the DL.
Yeah, but
I don't understand it.
Well, all right. I mean, I'm trying to explain it to him. He keeps talking.
That's what he does.
The reason why it was shelved was because the original language, a lot of owners might not have wanted it to be that way. So they're going to refine it. They like the idea. It's probably going to pass, but it's going to be in a slightly different form. So whatever passes at the end of May, when they have their next meeting, could be more in line with what you're talking about.
No,
there could
just
be some minor tweaks to it. The way the language was submitted was what I just explained. So however it ends up at the end of May will be roughly the same but slightly different.
I think if they put a cap on the number, whether it's one or two players, you're not going to put a guy on it who you know can't come back because you wouldn't want to use up that slot.
Right.
So it's going to just be a guy who you think maybe can come back.
Dan Copen.
Yeah,
last
exactly.
year would have been the perfect. He legitimately may have come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. he's more of a good example. He's a starter, a Pro Bowler. He was hurt, but he wasn't so hurt that he needed all of the year.
Right.
That's more of a
I think that's
reasonable example.
I think that's the majority of what you'd see with this rule, as opposed to the Lee Smith, Will Yeatman,
right.
of the world.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not going to see that.
You're not
going to
see it
with
those guys.
No, I don't think you'd see that if it was unlimited.
Oh, I do.
I don't think you'd see it as much as you do.
I think Bill Belichick would
get anything out of it.
Like 30 guys on the disabled.
But you don't get to use them for half the season. They're not developing. They're not practicing.
But you do get to use them for half a season.
One of the other rules that was tabled,
and that's better than not playing at all,
was
you're cutting them.
The concussion inactive player. The suggestion was on game days you have to have 7 inactives.
Right.
Got down to the 46-man roster. They will, in effect, give you a 54-man roster that week if the previous week one of your players suffered a concussion.
Right.
You can make him a game day inactive in the concussion category and still carry another person so that you can have 46 and your regular 7 inactives.
So that
these things don't seem to be overly complicated to
but
me.
That one's a good one. Because
I just think
now
you have to.
There's always a temptation.
You need to know your business.
Yeah.
And
right.
These guys are in the business of finding loopholes and.
Well, but I
that's
think
what
that's
do.
A good one because it avoids or it lessens the temptation of teams to not call a concussion.
It might be the opposite.
Right.
They might be now inclined to say
first
a guy is concussed,
oh, that's
so
true.
They can use that extra spot the following
right.
week.
Yeah.
But. Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah, that's true.
So that one will be voted on at the
you
end
know,
of May.
You know what? You just can't trust these bastards.
You can't! It's just the way it is, and it's always been that way.
Expanding the year-round roster from 80 to 90 players. That's probably going to happen, but they haven't voted on it yet. That's another one where the language has to be tweaked.
That was one Bill seemed fix it on. I mean, we don't even know how many rosters.
Yeah,
that ties into the 18-game season. I know they're not talking about that now, but that makes sense if you do go to an 18-game season, maybe.
It certainly would help to have more players available. Yeah,
but that's in the offseason.
But this is for you go into training camp with 90 players instead of 80.
The old days when NFL Europe, you had 8 exemptions and you had 88 players or whatever.
80. Was it 85?
Oh, no.
Was it 8?
Got an exemption. I mean, I remember days where they were right around 90.
You used to get the exemptions for the NFL Europe.
And then cutdowns would be different. Like, if they went to 90, they would have, I think, the cutdown dates or numbers of cutdowns would change.
What about, the 53? Would they expand that?
There was no talk of that, no.
That is tied into 18.
Yeah, you're right.
And that, he said there's no talk of, but
good,
could,
Andy. You
could
got,
come
you,
down
you
the
got
road.
Fred to say, yeah, you're right.
I found the fascinating one on a totally unrelated to the Patriots or anything level, the fact that they are, I forgot the exact words, but they want to make Super Bowl 50 like
a celebration.
Yeah. And they're already talking about where it's going to be. The dark horse is London and these different things. And
oh,
it's going to be this
celebrate
biggest.
The anniversary of the Super Bowl in another country. That makes a lot of sense.
Your league.
Why is he yelling at me?
Yeah. It just makes no sense.
And but I thought the funny one is Jerry Jones wants it. And I was like, you just failed on a regular Super Bowl. They're not going to let you screw up the number 50.
Right.
And Indy is like a dark horse. The normal ones are the favorites, Miami,
New Orleans.
Yep.
I would
Arizona,
do it
yeah. maybe.
Southern California,
well,
maybe?
The ideal
that
one
that would be the one in Vegas.
They don't,
yeah.
The new L.A. Yeah, the new
yeah.
L.A.,
new
but
LA.
Yeah.
They don't even have a new L.A.
They have
LA
a
yet.
New L.A.
And you can't, it's only
and it's,
yeah.
and it's coming up
four
pretty,
years away,
close,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, Fred, I was thinking of your idea when Andy brought it up, the Vegas one, but I don't know if you can do that when you've never done it there before.
Yeah,
right.
You know, and you just, you're sort of taking a leap of faith. You know, they can handle it. But I would like to see them do something that hasn't been done. This is special.
Yeah.
The moon.
So I don't want it in New Orleans. We do it in New Orleans
new
every
new
3 or 4 years.
How about Washington, D.C.?
Washington?
No
interest.
No?
Yeah, what's there? No one stays in Washington.
I don't know. They have plenty of hotels.
No, I know, but remember when we were there and everybody's like, nobody lives here. They go home on the weekend and
right.
stuff.
Right. Well,
like,
that's good. So it'll be easier to get around.
Yeah, I don't care for it. I think Southern California
Southern
or
California
LA
would probably
is.
Be.
LA,
yeah.
talking about
LA or Vegas,
San Francisco,
me,
the new wherever
Niners
it's going to be,
Santa Clara.
Yeah, is a possibility. But again, that's the same thing. It's a first one. But
yeah.
to me, that's better than Indy. I'm sorry.
Indy
did a
hard
job, but
the Indy lucked out with the weather. Come
right,
on,
yeah.
let's face
Indy
it.
Indy can't. Do
I
it.
Would not risk a 50th anniversary
Hawaii.
Super Bowl in Indy.
Hawaii
would
be
the one.
Oh no!
Yes,
no,
that
no.
would be great.
That would
too
be
much
interesting.
Of too much
stadium,
of a burden
the
on families and corporations.
Well, they can start renovating
yeah, can
it.
A, yeah,
oh, whoa, 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 whoa!
Burden on
whoa, 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 whoa! That's very expensive out there.
Yeah, but not that many regular people go.
Yeah, exactly.
This is for corporate America, and if they have to pay
exactly.
an extra $10,000, they'll pay the
is
extra $10,000.
Is Al Perello a regular
yeah.
person, Paul?
Would he be going if yeah. I didn't get him the ticket?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Because regular people don't go to the
exactly.
Super Bowl.
He's right.
Well,
And I would even argue people that get tickets through us aren't exactly regular people. They are fortunate enough to know
Hawaii.
Us.
Plus, wouldn't they the Hula Bowl?
The stadium's an issue.
Would need upgrades.
You'd have to knock down that stadium and build it over again.
If you announced it now, there would be time. If the NFL wanted to fund it, they could do it.
At 46? Is a locale, right?
This was 46, the one we just had.
Got plenty of time.
That would be cool.
Mexico City.
No. Hawaii would be ideal.
That'd be cool.
That would
talk
be
about the
ideal.
Run and shoot offense.
Then you could have the Pro Bowl that same week. It would all make perfect sense.
Hawaii.
That would be great. Kevin,
you don't want to go to
our
Hawaii
specialist.
Of course I want to go to Hawaii.
He even bitched about his Hawaii vacation.
No. Just on the way home.
We asked him how his vacation was, and all we heard about was the trip home.
United screwed me over on the way.
There you go.
Oh, who cares about that? At that point, you
at least
had
your
the
pilot didn't
Hawaii.
Run down the aisle yelling, "Al Qaeda, Iran bombs! We're going down."
Okay, keep up the hijinks. He's not ready.
Somebody writes in.
Somebody,
Fred. They're called arborists, not loggers. People who cut down trees are arborists.
That's probably the guy that counts trees out in we met in
History
Denver.
Channel, they call him axe men.
Yeah. But only if you use an axe, right?
Yeah. Well, they don't always use axes.
Arborists.
They use saws.
It just sounds like a PC, like a fake PC term.
Yeah.
So are you keeping the wood or he gets it?
He's keeping the wood.
So that's where he's making his coin.
Yeah. He's going to take the wood. So, which is fine.
It
would take me forever to chop all that stuff up anyway.
Never.
Don't give the wood either.
Nope. Sadly.
He's even going to like...
Is this another part of that imagination?
I have a lot of big brush piles that have piled up over a decade. He's going to actually push everything back into the woods and make a couple roads for me.
Roads?
Yeah. Clear a couple paths.
Paths. Okay. They're not going to be roads.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
What are you going to drive on? You got to get a gator.
I might.
I don't know. These alpacas that are only $200 are going to cost him like $50,000.
Just for
Nikki to go, nah, I'm not really into knitting anymore.
Take nature walks,
Ixnay.
You should put a gazebo down there so you guys can go down there, just sit, have a top shelf margarita, sit there, listen to the birds.
Sure. All right, 508-298-0398 is the East Ticket Hotline.
I just envisioned one of those. Not the purple pill, but the other one. I envision one of those commercials with Fred and Nikki walking.
Viagra?
When that moment comes, you'll be ready.
Bow, 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 bow.
In the gazebo.
You never know when the moment's right.
Travis in Collierville, Tennessee, wants to know, did they propose a rule to put time back on the clock for the defensive penalty?
The 12-man on the field rule passed, yes. So now that's a dead ball foul. So the play won't continue. They'll just stop the play and... Yeah. The discussion was
there's a great addition to the game. Yeah. We're really longing for that one.
Well, because it just happened in the Super Bowl and
we lost because of it.
Absolutely.
Although Rich McKay said it had no bearing on the outcome of the Super Bowl.
It didn't.
No, I know, but he specifically said that because that's what people were talking about was the Super Bowl play.
Right. That's where it came up.
I know everywhere I go that people say, geez, they really got to do something about those defensive penalties in the last minute that, time goes off the clock. Everybody I talk to says, I would watch football if they just did something about that rule.
Well, I mean, it didn't have an effect, but it's good when...
My point being is it's not something that happens very often.
No, but
certainly not often enough to change a rule because of it.
People could exploit that. It's good to make the change.
But like when an offensive coordinator leaves one team that stinks and joins a team that's going to the Super Bowl.
But there are rules to prevent you from exploiting it. There are rules in the book. Did you know that?
What?
There are rules in the book to prevent you from exploiting that.
To a certain degree, yes.
Like if you did it two plays in a row, you wouldn't be allowed to do it.
Absolutely. But if you did it one play in a row, you'd be okay.
One play in a row. Row. You have a one play.
Did you
row.
Hear that Nike is suing Reebok?
Yes.
For what?
They got the judge came down on them.
Nike's
side.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Wow.
Instantly, like, I don't know if it was cease and desist or something.
It was a restraining order.
Yeah, restraining order.
It's funny because there's people sitting in, like, death row that are waiting for their appeal for years. And, like, in a day, they do a Nike ruling.
Tebow gets it done.
What was it? What was the... allegation?
Reebok printed a bunch of Tebow Jets jerseys. Fred's just yelling in the back.
I don't have any money.
He's $10,000 into alpacas, but he's got no money.
Oh, because they don't have the contract
anymore?
And
now Nike's taking over. I believe next week is the big
April
announcement.
3rd?
Yeah, all the teams. you know, every team's going to have a player, I think, in New York or wherever they're unveiling it, and it's going to be this big hoo-ha. And
so who's the Patriots rep? Do we know?
I do. I don't think I can say, though.
You're not allowed to say?
I don't know. You say it.
I don't want to say if you don't think.
If you if you just wait another 11 seconds, I'm quite sure that Andy will just blurt it out.
Yeah.
I don't think we can.
I don't think we can either.
I don't think the Patriots one is set in stone anyway.
Oh, if that's the case, then Andy maybe we'll hold.
As usual,
tongue.
We're probably the last team to commit a player.
Right.
You know? Is he captain?
Now, by player, do you mean someone that actually is on the 80-man roster?
Right. Can we send Troy Brown?
Oh.
Oh, come on. This is radio. Ed has another injured reserve example. He says, say Brady suffers a major dislocated shoulder but may heal in a month or two. But in past, this may have resulted on being put on IR. Exactly. That's why they're doing this rule.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think that makes sense. But
now, they're going to have retroactivity like baseball?
I don't believe so. Although, who knows? They're tweaking the language, so we'll find out what happens.
So if the guy hurt in week one, but he was just inactive in week two, and then all of a sudden you say, you know what, this is a little bit more serious than we thought,
like
retroactive to week
one. Bill's done that a bunch of times where guys sit two, three,
and then all of a sudden you just got to go. You know, we couldn't wait anymore.
Yeah, that's the thing that wasn't clear in the language was if a guy gets hurt in training camp, they can't place him on that list until after the first game. So what do they do with him in the meantime? They just carry him. They make him on the 53-man roster. Wasn't clear, so I think that might be part of the reason why that was
another
shelved.
I'm
telling you, my head is just spinning. It just doesn't seem to me to be this complicated.
Eric,
if a guy goes down in training camp, why can't you just do this?
Another topic that was talked about, and just I know we don't know what the verdict is yet, but what was the buzz around the whole Washington Redskins, Dallas Cowboys appealing their penalties for loading up in the south?
Yeah, that was probably the second most talked about topic there, the Saints being the first one.
Right.
And that was another thing where people were some people just weren't, and I'm by people I mean people covering it, not the ownership and the GMs, but people were saying, well how's that going to work? As far as what happens to them next year? Do they get the money back? Like, there was a lot of confusion about how they were actually going to institute the penalty.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people covering it.
They were unanimous.
Yeah.
They were unanimous.
29.
Right. Yeah. And there was
one abstention.
There was one abstention.
Do we find out that was Oakland?
No, I think it
wasn't.
It wasn't? Oh, I just assumed
every
it was.
Time there's an abstention,
right?
I automatically assume it's Oakland.
Of course.
It was San Diego.
I believe it was.
Anyway,
I forgot.
Ixnay on the abstention.
I thought it was Dean Spanos, but I could be wrong.
Deaner.
I think it was the Giants.
Well, I don't know. Anyway,
I think it was the Giants because it was
heard it was the opposite. I heard it was the Giants that was spearheading this whole thing, and there was some wondering.
It's funny how that works.
Exactly, the two teams in their division that did this, that they were being spiteful.
Right.
The Giants started, and the Eagles said, "Yeah,
good idea."
Yeah. So, and you say that was really talked about down there.
Well, that was that.
Yeah, but that's why they abstained, because they're the ones that brought it all forward.
Yeah, I mean, especially the media from those two. Right. Cities were, you know, wanted to get some questions into Goodell about whether or not that was going to, you know, how that just that whole thing was going to play out, because a lot of people haven't really been paying attention to what it was that these two teams were accused of doing. And in the, I think it's the Redskins case, it was $36 million.
Yeah,
right. Dallas $10 million.
Right, right.
What they were accused of was there was a gentleman's agreement last year that you wouldn't use the uncapped year to either front load deals,
like an uncapped year.
Right,
you wouldn't do
exactly.
what you were absolutely perfectly allowed to do in the uncapped.
Yes, it was a gentleman's agreement, and
you know what they
30 teams supposedly.
Well, there's precedent for it because it happened in the past where teams got penalized back in the 80s.
Exactly,
I think.
There's no real precedent for it.
But it's you know,
this is a different situation
as it was back then, and as it was with baseball when it's happened several times. There's a word for it,
but
collusion.
This is different because this was put in as a poison pill, theoretically, to make them avoid the uncapped year. They wanted to avoid uncapped year. This was supposed to be, we can't let this happen.
Right.
Well, it happened.
Right.
If you have it on the books, and then the Redskins also were pissed that they didn't hear wind of this until right before free agency. And as Shanahan said, you got to go into free agency with a plan, although some would argue the Redskins never have. But,
right.
And
at the last minute, their plan had to change. They lost $18 million in cap space.
You know what the Redskins are? They're like that guy that plays Monopoly, and everything he lands on, he just buys.
He's toping.
That's me. That's how you play Monopoly. You don't pass things up.
Jeez.
Right, but then there was that whole air of uncertainty. Well, how much money are we going to get this year on the cap, or are we going to have to make it up to them next year? So it was.
I know that now they've appealed to this special master, Stephen Burbank, or
my favorite guy in the world.
Yeah.
Now,
special master.
And I heard that.
Yes, special master.
The thinking is he'll say, okay, we'll wipe out 2013. You won't have to pay the second half of it.
You know. Maybe.
So. And we'll see what Jerry Jones thinks.
Yeah,
and
in his case, it would only be then $5 million penalty.
Yeah, but he might the principal
conspicuous.
No, I know,
can you imagine if Al Davis were alive for something like this?
Oh God,
he's not even involved, and he'd be suing.
Yep.
Yeah, guys.
Jerry, don't worry about it. I'll
handle this. I got good lawyers.
Did you guys talk the other day? Was the Parcells stuff out by Tuesday?
Yeah.
Well, not
as much out as it is now, where he said.
My thinking on that
his
was,
big thing was he wondering about Benson.
Yeah.
Well,
a couple of things. I had a couple of thoughts on that. First was, it makes sense for Sean Payton to want a big-name coach like Parcells to take over, because if he does really well, it's Bill Parcells.
Right.
Pete Carmichael does it. Well,
why do we need Sean Payton?
Right. Yeah. The second thing I was thinking of, what was it?
I don't know. I just remember you saying, if I'm Tom Benson, you were Tom Benson in about 75 different scenarios. I'm Tom Benson, he kept saying.
I wondered before Sean Payton broached this with Parcells.
Did he talk to the owner?
With owner.
Yes.
Yeah, because if I'm Tom Benson.
Mickey Loomis.
I'm a little. Yeah. That's my decision.
That's my decision, right, exactly. That's the first thing I thought of was.
But I really got to.
Tom Benson's.
I got to applaud Bill Parcells.
Oh, yeah. He's just doing altruistic reasons.
I'd
be a hypocrite.
I'm doing what any friend would do.
He's paying it forward. Chuck Knoll did it for him.
That's what
he
said. Do it for Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll.
He's like a son. What a maroon.
It's one of my homeboys.
I mean, that's what you think of when you think Bill Parcells.
He's all about himself. He's all about others.
Somebody said he set a record for now flirting with a head coaching job in 4 decades. Four different decades.
Well, I missed that.
Flirting with a head coaching job in 4 different decades. But yeah, that was the dominant.
My last coaching job.
The dominant.
My last coaching job. Believe me.
I believe. My cheeseburger. I got a cheeseburger with buffalo sauce. Great.
The dominant topic of the whole few days was the Saints.
At least I didn't have what?
Parcells,
to pay $20 for the cheeseburger with buffalo sauce on it?
Unfortunate situation.
I liked how Bill deemed it. Unfortunate situation.
Yeah.
Well, he's obviously sticking up for a fellow coach there.
Now was
and his boy.
There was a little bit of scuttlebutt, too, that Sean Payton spoke to reporters. But there was a little bit of angst over the fact that he didn't say anything to his colleagues and the owners.
Like Belichick did circa 2008, I guess.
Right. Before he talked to
in
the
that
media.
Hostage video.
And he certainly had every opportunity. And they made it easier this year. Normally at that coach's breakfast, it's all 32 who are invited. And,
or 31.
Yeah. And the media has just 1 hour to talk to as many of those as they can. They broke it up this year to make it a little fairer. They had the AFC do one morning, the NFC the next morning. So Payton had plenty of time to give a private session, mea culpa, or whatever he wanted to say, and didn't do that, apparently. And that rubbed some people the wrong way. He came out and talked to the media first. But conspicuous was in his absence was Tom Benson, who I'm sure was there, but we didn't really hear from him at all. And with the whole Bill Parcells thing coming up, that was my first thought was, is Payton doing this on his own, trying to go and get his replacement in here? Did he do it thinking, let me approach Bill first, and then I'll go to Benson and say, I have a backup plan, and then it leaked? Or did the owner say to him, why don't you go and talk to Parcells? It would have been nice to have heard from Tom Benson the last couple of days to find out what he thinks about
it. If I'm the Saints, it's probably we're not going to.
It's probably
a good
idea, yeah.
Why not get a little publicity, keep on the front pages? It's not a bad idea. If I'm the owner, you got to make sure I'm on board with that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I'm Tom Benson.
Anyone.
But I think it makes sense beyond just that. It
he came from Parcells.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's the systems and similar, the setups, the styles.
Oh.
And Peyton is admitted of that, that he's stolen pretty much everything from Parcells.
I think it's a good idea all the way around.
Yeah. And at this point, Parcells probably wouldn't have to do that much.
Right.
Pete Carmichael and Steve Spagnuolo would do everything that he would need to do. He
would kind of Saturday night speech.
He would be like Bobby Bowden was the last few years at Florida State.
Sure.
He'd sit up there with the hat, watch practice, have the assistants do everything.
Right. So I think it makes all the sense in the world. And being the kind of guy he is, I think he'll do it just to help out a buddy.
Well, that's, you know, he's very altruistic that way. But I would wonder,
and
he'll
be dead before he gets in the Hall of Fame.
For the players, how much do you respect his authority?
Respect my authority.
I think Bill Parcells is pretty important.
Yeah, I think they would.
Oh, absolutely, in general. But I'm talking about he's coming in here for 1 year, and then he's gone.
Yeah, but
and he can be a tough guy to play for.
Right, but
so if
you're not really playing for him, like Eric said, you're playing for Spags or you're playing for Carmichael, and he's just kind of the Paterno, Bowden, overseer of everything.
So what is he doing then?
Making sure the wheels don't come off.
Because I love the idea
on the face.
Surface.
You don't have to send your coordinator out there to do the press conferences.
He make sure everything's just running smoothly. Mm-hmm. Make sure that Spags and Carmichael are interacting, that there's no internal coaching
feuds. I would clearly do it because you guys know what I think of Parcells. But
plus, your boy's a Punani. He doesn't want the job.
Yeah. I mean, certainly it would appear that way.
Huh. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And could somebody pour me a drink, please? Let's go to the emails. Kenny writes in.
Kenny. Keller?
He's from Virginia. Was thinking the other night, what are the odds if Welker and the Patriots can't come to an agreement on a contract? Welker is either traded for a draft pick, maybe a first rounder, or another player. Or do you see Welker signing his franchise tender, which to my knowledge has yet to happen, playing this year out, then the Pats and Welker go on their separate ways? I know Welker is sort of Brady's security blanket and always seems to bail him out when needed, minus the Super Bowl, but I don't blame Welker. But with all the munchkin receivers that are now on the roster, I see that as sort of an insurance policy in case things don't work out between Welker and the Patriots. Finally, with all the recent signings and Brady restructuring his contract, do you guys know the amount of free cap space the Patriots currently have? Again, love the show, and you making getting 5 teeth extracted less painful.
Wow.
That's hard.
Five?
Five at one time?
Oh, I have to apologize to you. We mocked Fred for doing dentistry in his car, which led to his infection because he had the pick out.
We don't know that.
Well, may have.
Right.
And we all thought you were crazy for doing, you know, dental work in the car. There is a Massachusetts Dentists Association PSA right now about flossing. Floss after every meal, but never behind the wheel. So apparently,
so he's not the
more
only one
than
that
just
does it.
You do flossing and things of that nature in
Are
the car.
You kidding
I swear
me?
To God, I heard it on the radio. I almost drove off the road. Because if they make one of those, it's got to be a pretty high percentage they feel like is doing that type of thing.
Or maybe I just they said, well, if he's doing it, everybody must be.
I was absolutely stunned.
That's funny.
There's a PSA for people like you, and you're the first person I ever knew.
And I purposely don't use flossing because you need two hands with that.
Well, others are better knee drivers than you, apparently.
I guess. That would be really dangerous.
I don't know the cap space, but aren't they in the range they were, kind of? It's all kind of evened out.
Which would be, what, $16
million? No, below that.
Like 10.
Yeah, I think they're in the range of $10 million-ish.
I haven't checked it. I know there's some sites out there that do a pretty good job of keeping track of that. But, you know, I thought Mr. Kraft's comments, you know, about that, you know, let's not have our breath held here waiting for some major.
He shot that down quick.
Yeah, there's a lot more to the offseason to come. I thought Belichick was pretty specific about that. You know, the team building process has really just begun. There's the whole draft. There's plenty more guys. You know, there's Fred's famous post-June first cuts.
Right.
Getting back to Welker, I think, will sign the tender and play this year, whether that's some agreement to not franchise him again or whatever. I think he'll play under the tender this year.
I still think there's a chance he signs, too.
I think there is, too.
Maybe. I wouldn't. I wouldn't if I were either side, I don't think, at this point. Did you see Deion Branch's characterization of the Welker-Brady play? 9 out of 10 times Welker makes that catch. 9 out of 10 times Tom Brady makes a better throw.
Deion Branch, 50-50. Deion Branch listening to 50-50. PFW in progress.
That's right. Brady eliminated the touchdown. Welker eliminated the completion. Together, they eliminated the Super Bowl win.
Wow. That's a little harsh, too.
That's systematic destruction of a franchise.
I believe the official nearest the play said, well, there was the game right there.
There was the game right there.
At that point. But there's a lot of plays leading up to that as well.
No, yeah. It wasn't a guarantee, Fred. You are correct. But I think that
your chances are a lot better if you catch that ball.
Even the biggest Giants fan, I think, would say that
That's true. The
game was probably lost had that play been completed.
True. Alex and Philly, with all this Tebow and Bountygate talk, you would forget that Peyton Manning was a Denver Bronco. I remember people saying that now the Broncos are definite Super Bowl contender. Is this true? Didn't they have more issues than just quarterback? No one even knows how his neck will hold up. I don't think they're going to be as good as other people think, but they are, but they will win their division by default because it stinks. Anyway, what do you guys think of the new rule changes? The one about the turnover being automatically reviewed sounds good. But if scoring plays and turnovers are automatically reviewed, why do we still need a challenge flag? For the ball spot? It sounds like they are eliminating the need to challenge any plays. Do these new changes benefit the offense or defense? My guess is offense, since this league is growing more offensive every year. Lastly, I think we need to go all defense early and often in this draft. I'm tired of drafting special teamers and bit players that we cut or overpay for later. Secondary and pass rush is what this draft should focus on because we don't have either.
Word.
Yeah, and it's not all turnovers. So there will be other things that you can challenge. The idea behind it, too, Commissioner said, or was it the Commissioner McKay, one of the two, was to give coaches a few more challenges in their pocket.
Plus, there's a ton of other things.
Without adding to the actual number of
I heard a lot of complaints about that this morning on the radio. With your boys, Andy, Toucher and Rich, why are we just like going to have the referees off the field? Is that what we're going to? Because they don't have anything else now except for spotting of the ball, which was the example that the emailer used. Well, what about you throw a pass and is it complete or not?
Right.
Throw on the sideline, is he in or out? There's a million different
plays.
I mean, isn't that the majority of the challenges?
Yeah.
Is whether or not a receiver was in bounds,
the Super Bowl catch
with Mario Manningham.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what I tend to think most of the reviews are pertaining to. Did he catch it or not? Did he have possession, whether it's in the field or not, or sometimes in addition to on the sideline? There's plenty of things that you can still challenge.
Right.
And just another whole thing. But Toucher and Rich, the referees are going to go away. They do have to call penalties. I mean, there are penalties that happen during the course of the game that are not subject to review. You can't call penalties,
right?
Through
pass
review.
Interference, for example, is not
reviewable,
right? Or reviewable. Let's see. Brian from Colchester, Vermont, writes in. Let's see. I read this story on Pro Football Talk, and of course, the asinine mod Nazis. They have deleted my comment. It contained no swearing and no serious inflammatory remarks, probably why it was removed.
No,
actual
serious.
Thoughtful dialogue is looked down upon there. He's talking about the Revis thing, I guess. As far as any of Belichick's comments toward the Jets, the only one that I can think of was that derogatory private conversation that Belichick was having with his son that was overheard by the media and reported on. The rest of his comments, praising their talent, praising their ability, wary of considering it an easy win. As far as I'm concerned, Bill was mainly exuberant about his defense/offense turning around an almost three-game losing streak. If I recall correctly, this was the game immediately after our regular season losses to the Steelers and Giants, correct? The Patriots weren't performing up to their level, and Belichick was happy that they'd pulled together and performed at the level he expects, or near, because his expectations are lofty. Beyond that, if all you have for ammo is that one comment that was supposed to be made in private after a win he considered extremely important, well, let's just say I hardly consider that grounds for formulating an educated response.
But you don't know what he's talking about.
Right. There could be other things.
There could be many other things.
In those 4 years of playing minimum twice, 4 years, 5 years, 4 years, of playing twice a year, plus they had at two playoff games in there.
Yep.
But for our purposes, it helps the border war. And now Darrell Revis has, a target on his back. Not that we do bounties, but,
I wouldn't throw at him.
Yeah, look, he's still pretty good.
Patriots fans, certainly should consider this a shot.
Sure.
That's what being a fan is about. You defend your own. But let's not be naive and think that Darrell Revis doesn't have anything to go on. And he's talking about, you know, his Wednesday press conferences before the Jets games, where he says every single guy that's ever played for the Jets is the greatest player in the history of football. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about other things that we don't know.
Right.
Like the Mason thing. You know, F you, Mason. Well, that's you don't think he might have had some of those interactions with Revis? And
right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And maybe Revis was a jerk to
there
him.
There were enough of these things. And by the way, that was picked up by microphone, not the media. That was like an NFL Films thing.
Right.
So let's not make this out to be like, you know, somehow the intrusive media caught him saying something.
It wasn't like the Obama and Medvedev thing the other day when he made that comment.
What was that?
When he was talking privately with the president of Russia and said, you know, after my election, I'll have more flexibility as far as the nuclear missile thing that they were talking about.
Did he steal his ring?
It was off. It was supposed to be. He thought the mics were all off.
And a Democrat said it, so it didn't cause such a stir.
Right.
That too.
Right. You're just going to look, Paul. Is your boy's thing going to get shot down?
Nothing. Which I got nothing from you for
Supreme
that?
Supreme Court?
I might be.
He gave you a look. He just
kinda
gave you a
shake.
Sounds like
it
part
be.
Of it might be, yeah. Yeah. Vashon from New York writes in. He said, just wanted to know what the future of Kyle Arrington is looking like. I went to school at Hofstra with him, and he was such a great player for our football team and a very nice guy that you just want to cheer for him. Do you guys see him staying a Patriot for the next 4 to 5 years? I sure hope so.
We'd have to sign a contract extension.
And yeah, I don't know about 4 or 5
years. I don't
know
about that long.
He's in the running for this year.
That's a long time, though, to be a Patriot.
4 or 5, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But
I
think he's pretty much – he's entrenched right now as much as I think you can be at that kind of a spot. I mean, he's not Tom Brady, but
– he's also your most proven commodity at cornerback.
That's what I'm saying. He's pretty much –
the other guy was better for 1 year and way worse for 1 year. This one's been the same. And we got married this summer. Were you at the wedding?
Kyle Arrington's wedding?
No. I wasn't asking you. I was asking his Hofstra friend.
I don't know.
But we certainly would agree with the emailer's depiction of Kyle Arrington. We like him a
very
lot.
Very nice.
All right, time for a break. It's 101. When we come back, maybe we'll hit the phones.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go Pats!
I
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, isn't it?
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
Okay, we're back here, PFW in Progress. We're talking about a lot of rule changes, stuff at the owners' meeting, and some Patriots stuff. Haven't talked about Tim Tebow, though.
No.
I don't think we will.
You don't think so?
No, we talked about him on Tuesday.
You did?
People really... I don't mind Tim Tebow talk. I kind of like it because I like the guy. But, boy, I listen to the other sports radio. They start talking Tebow, and, you know, it's people are like, stop talking about him, you know. People really get offended when you start talking about Tim Tebow.
Woody Johnson told us he's going to be playing every game.
I would hope so.
Yeah, and the number changes all the time. 5 snaps. I've seen up to 20 snaps.
Right.
Well,
how can the game plan now?
They're not a great offense, so 20 snaps is like more than a third of the game.
Yeah.
That's a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
So that's not going to end well. That whole team, Tannenbaum, you're going to be happy because Tannenbaum's going to be out.
Yep.
Ryan's going to be out. Maybe Tebow will be left over starting. Who knows? But that's going to be a whole regime change.
Good. Much deserved. Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398.
Let's get really ridiculous.
Yeah.
When Rex Ryan gets fired, does he get another job?
Oh, as a defensive coordinator.
All right.
You asked if he got another job.
Does he get another head coaching job?
Not right away.
Definitely not right away.
Okay.
And I'm going to say probably never.
Probably get a network job.
I think Andy might be right. I think the majority of teams would be scared to hire him.
Yeah.
He'll be a network blowhard.
I think Andy's right.
Yeah. So the network should be scared to have him on TV.
I mean, I think he should get a job, but I think
somebody will hire him.
Someone will be afraid.
Yeah. He'd be good on like HBO or Showtime.
Where he can say what he wants.
Oh, yeah. All in. Put him and like Sapp together. Just go
badasses. But they don't do that on those shows.
No, but you could make one that did.
Right.
Phil Simms and Chris Collinsworth aren't going to do that, but maybe you do. What's that show called?
Sports Jerk?
No, that's my show. No, but you could do the real Inside the NFL. I know. Take him from that and let him go no holds barred and put, you know, the true Inside the NFL an hour later or something where it's everything. Even some of the footage of swearing that, you know, would be unedited and everything.
Well, it's like, you know, they have the Madden game, and for a while they had that Blitz game where it was like, you're punching the guy and all this stuff.
Pre-concussions.
Right.
Pre-player safety concerns.
Right. All right, let's go to the phones. Mike's in Florida. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good. Mikey. How you doing?
Good, man.
Listen, I was my job was recently moved out of state, so I need your what do you call it, Fred? Your peculiar brand of patriotism.
Unique.
More
unique.
Now than ever. So, you know, I appreciate what you guys do. I've been working around the house like a lot lately and listening to old podcasts, so I'd like to pick a few scabs, if I may.
Okay.
This ought to be good.
And I'm not going to go into detail about the two-hour argument about draft and value and stuff, but, you know, one thing came to mind was you guys, a couple of you guys hate the value idea, and some guy made a great poem about that. But to me, the thing that sucks more than value is the word versatility. And I think Andy's mentioned it a couple of times where we have a lot of versatile Jags, but no outstanding players. So I just wanted to throw that
sounds
out.
Sounds like
there.
Something Andy would say.
But I have something I'd like you guys to discuss, and then I'd like to hear your evaluation of one player. Also in that podcast, Paul had mentioned possibly doing some research about drafts.
He didn't.
Yeah, I probably didn't.
Yeah, I don't think so. But listen, this is a little bit of research, and I think it's correct. Over the last 5 years, we've had the most picks, draft picks, in the NFL, yet I believe we have the least drafted players on our team, the most UFAs in the league. So that says that we're drafting a lot of players, and they're not making the team.
Well, there was that 1 year where none of them did, right?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we've also, it's not like we're only drafting 4 or 5 players. We're drafting 10, and still we're, you know, we're less than whatever it is, 50%, 40, 30, whatever. But Fred keeps on saying, well, everybody misses. Yeah, but we've had more draft picks, so we've missed more.
Yeah, but
you also have a very deep team that they're trying to make.
I agree with that, and I also
a team of unrestricted free agents.
Oh, that's friend. Wait a minute. Okay, first of all, you say you're sick of versatility because we got a bunch of players who are good but not great. Tom Brady's not great. Wes Welker's not great. You know, Vince Wilfork's not great. I mean, we've got a lot of guys that are great.
But don't we have a lot of guys that can do a lot of things?
Sure.
Way where if we had a few more guys that could do like rush the passer better, mm-hmm. maybe it would be better than
maybe we wouldn't make the Super Bowl. I mean, what else? What the hell?
No, maybe we'd win the Super Bowl. I think
that's
his point.
All right, so maybe the great guy that threw the ball to the great guy that didn't catch it. Maybe if those two cooked up, that had nothing to do with the Jags that you guys are talking about.
Curse Cohen, it's on Brady, comma Welker.
No, but I'm just serious. You know, you just said that the reason we lost the Super Bowl was because Welker didn't catch the ball. Well, that's one of the great guys. The guy that threw the ball was one of the great guys. I mean, that wasn't one of these versatile Jags that you're talking about.
Breathe.
You turn your red.
Listen, Paul said it best one time. He said, and you said, well, you know, we're great. We've been in the Super Bowls. You can't expect us to go to the Super Bowl every year. But Paul said if we drafted better players, we would go to the Super Bowl every year.
No, we wouldn't.
The best ever.
No, that's unrealistic to think of any team. I don't care. It's unrealistic.
We might have won a couple.
I mean, tell me, okay, Mike, tell me the team that you think is the best drafting team in the NFL and tell me how many times they went to the Super Bowl.
I hear you. And it's a good thing Belichick's the best coach ever or we never go.
See, that's the part that Fred never wants to acknowledge. How many other teams have the best coach and the best quarterback in the game?
Right.
None. The Patriots have that.
Yeah.
So if they did a little bit better job doing the stuff that we're talking about here, they'd win even more.
That's hard to. I mean, maybe, but
so you're saying. So you're saying that you're saying no one can win any more than the Patriots have won.
No, I'm saying it's really hard to do better than they've done, and no one has.
Not all that hard. It's two drives away from being 5 Super Bowls.
And I think if you had
close,
two drives.
As Paul likes to say, you win that 06 one, it's another Super Bowl you didn't play and that you would have won.
I think you're all looking at the grass greener on the other side of the fence.
No! It could be greener here!
Right.
We've got a couple dead patches. If the neighbor sucks, we know we have a good lawn, we could have the best lawn you've ever seen.
And I think we said it last week or Tuesday maybe, about how we're sort of arrogant. We know we go into every season knowing that we're going to win. We
Why?
Know the division stinks. So
we
there's, no one, there's no one that can.
We do, but I don't think Belichick does.
No, he does. But wait a minute. No, I'm
he
not.
He would tell us that.
Don't take that.
Does.
Don't take that over the top, super literally. I mean, obviously, there's work to be done every year, but we have the best coach and we have the best quarterback, and inherently that gives us an advantage over. I don't know, 28 other teams. Because there's only a handful of teams that have a quarterback of anywhere near the caliber of Brady.
Look, if that was the case, and the Patriots didn't go into every season and win the way they do. I'd be right with you. They got the best coach and the best quarterback, and they're not living up to their potential. I think they are living up to their
potential. But are you doing everything you can to be as good as you can in those years?
I think that they miss on a lot of draft picks, but yes, but, they are trying but to see, do you, what they can every year.
But you say, like, the caller gave you some data, and I'm not sure about the we have the fewest amount of draft picks on the
Thanks
team.
For the call,
I don't
by
know
the way,
about
Mike.
That one. Mike.
I'm sure we have the most picks.
I'm sure we had the most picks. We had those back-to-back years with 12.
24 and 2, yeah.
And then I think 9.
24 in 09 and 10, 9 last year, and
so,
now 6
I mean,
this year.
That's hard to top those,
that's
la- those last
That's 4.5
three years
drafting for most teams or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's an extra year.
So I don't know about the numbers about how many draft picks are actually on the team, but you just sit there and you say, well, not everybody hits. I mean, everybody misses on picks, and you're absolutely right. No one hits on every pick. I just think, and this is the argument that I have with you all the time, doing it the way we do it, we make it harder to hit. We make it harder on ourselves to hit. You know, so if Mike's numbers are right, it stands to reason when instead of just having, you know, a first round pick or two first round picks that we always seem to have, if we took them, they'd probably still be on the team. Mm. But instead, we double dip and try to get an extra second and maybe a fourth. Well, it's harder for those guys
or
to
a fifth and a
to
sixth.
Hit.
You know, you get a guy like Ron
Borges. We've had a million sixth and seventh round picks over the years, and you know, it stands to reason that you don't miss on those.
I know, but you get a guy like Ron Borges who says, I don't care how good the coach is, if you don't have the horses, you can't win.
Now all of a sudden you're going with
no,
Ron
but I'm
Borges.
Just saying, you know,
Ron Borges is going to back up your argument.
Strange bedfellow.
The guy who you've done nothing but rip to shreds for the last 15 years.
I'm just saying that I think Bill Belichick puts together the best team he possibly can every year. I think they've missed on a couple, more than a couple, on quite a few.
I think he tries to do that, but to say that he does is
I think think there was that period in particular where the, what was it, 06, 07. Well, 07,
the 07 draft, 08, yeah.
That 08, was a weird 08,
09.
Yeah. When Pioli was still here, that
it was 06 to 09.
They blew those years. Those were missing years as far as the draft goes. I think they've gotten better since then.
Well, certainly.
You know, but could they be better? Absolutely. But, you know, all these people that are really killing the Patriots drafts really need to go down other teams' drafts. And, you know, except for the one guy that stands out every year, look at it through rounds 1 through 7, and I'll bet you it comes out even as far as hits and misses. You know?
Yeah, but I don't care about rounds 1 through 7 because a hit in round 4 isn't as good as a hit in round 1.
No. I mean, you know, we thought 2 years ago they hit on McCourty. Now we don't know. You know? It's that
but
final line.
But if you
line.
Take more chances the higher sure. up,
you have less players, but
you have a greater likelihood that you're going to hit.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
So we're just saying we would rather have seen them make those types of hits or go after those types of players than try to trade down and get a bunch of guys who can do a lot of things but nothing great.
And there's no guarantee, even if you do that, that you're going to hit. But you're right.
But I'll give them more credit for doing that.
I agree. You lessen the odds of failure if you go after guys that are up there. They're up there for a reason, you know. But at what cost, you know? Maybe Belichick.
What cost?
You know, if you get the guy in the top, you know, trade up and get a guy in the top five.
No. But see, this is where you cloud it. Listen, we always want to get aggressive in trade, but just take the picks that you have. There's no cost. The Belichick does a masterful job. See, you always think that we're always making fun of the things the Patriots do, and we're not. I think Belichick does a great job every year of, as he puts it, sort of getting in control of the draft, putting the Patriots in a position of power. But we never seem to
use the
cash
power.
In.
Yeah.
Like we, you know, and I think they will probably do the same thing this year. And the guy that I brought up to Andy and I did a podcast that'll be coming up on Patriots.com about wide receivers and tight ends. Kobe Fleener is a tight end from Stanford who's very good. There are a certain amount of teams out there that are really starved for a tight end. I think this guy's going to get overdrafted. Andy said, you know, everybody's starting to talk about him as a first-round pick now.
The guy from Stanford.
Right.
That's because he was the only target Luck had.
Okay. Well, he also ran like a 4.4, 4.3.
Yeah. He blew up in his pro day.
He's kind of like Gronk.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He blew up in his pro day.
Yep.
Now, the Patriots are sitting there at 31. I think the Giants will take this guy at 32. The Giants don't have a tight end. They haven't really had one.
And they lost two in the Super
Bowl.
So
what's going to happen is teams in the first 10, 12, 15 picks of the second round that similarly need a tight end are going to come calling to the Patriots. I think that's going to become a very valuable pick for Kobe Fleener if he's still available.
And I know that we'll trade, and we'll make a good trade. We will make a good trade. Just like the Mark Ingram trade from last year for the Saints was a good trade for New England. We picked up an additional first rounder in the future and did all the other stuff that we did in the second round. Those are good. I never ever criticize Bill's trades because on paper, they're excellent. It's just, I would like to see
in reality,
us,
not so much.
When we have Tom Brady and we have this position of power that we're in,
yeah,
take better advantage of getting players now. And I know Bill looks at the whole long haul.
Well, and I
think we've left Super Bowls on the table.
I know what you're saying, and I get it. And, you know, the whole trading down thing, people get frustrated. But if you're in that position, the exact position that you're talking about, where there's a guy that you know that the team behind you is going to take, teams come a-calling within 10 players or 7 players or whatever, and you have the group of players who you would have taken at 31.
And here we go.
You think they're going to be available where you're trading down to. Why not take those extra picks?
They're never the same. Bill Belichick has told us all things are never equal. So he had, of that group of players, there's 6. In my mind, I believe he has them ranked in his head. I have a 1, I have a 2, and they're similar. The value may be similar, but he has a preference.
You think?
I want him to take the preference.
Of course he does.
Yes, he does.
Well,
he stacks the board vertically and horizontally.
If he does, then I would err to, well.
Now, yeah. I believe him that he has them similarly graded or whatever,
right.
But I think he has a preference.
And he weighs it, you know.
You can like a lot of things kind of the same, but if somebody makes you pick, you could put them in order. Yeah.
Who was the guy? Chris Houston. Remember from Arkansas?
Yes.
The cornerback. And that was one of the guys that we found out about later in talking to some people who know that was strongly under consideration. And he said, do I think Chris Houston is worth the first round pick the following year? And he ultimately said no. When they waited for Chris Houston, he was not there anymore.
Right.
Fine. Chris Houston is an average player at best. Not like one of these examples of the Clay Matthews or Mike Wallace's that really came back and hurt you. This is not about Chris Houston, but Andy's right. There's always a difference in Bill's mind, and I think that he does weigh it. And he says, I like this guy. If I don't get him, am I satisfied if I get stuck with this guy? Is that worth the first-round pick? And to me, he generally will answer yes to that.
Right.
And again, I'm not criticizing the trades, because those trades, I think, bar none, have all been home runs, right?
Oh, yeah.
On paper, we've always gotten more for the trade. I'm talking about the value of the pick, not the player we take.
I would like it better if
then we give up.
When you guys or fans call in, they criticize. Okay, you traded down. Who were the players available at where you eventually picked that you passed up instead and picked a guy that? That's to me a more valid argument.
But that's the. I mean, you hear a lot of those names.
Well,
Clay Matthews is one of those names.
But that's the one that's always brought up.
But I'm just saying,
I would go just last
year.
There's
a laundry list of those guys.
Yeah.
Wilkerson is one.
And we'll never know because you can't say he's good somewhere else or bad somewhere else.
Right.
You don't know what he would have been here.
That's true.
And you're also coaching.
And you also can't ask Bill.
But Bill might think. Bill does think he knows how he would be here.
Right.
And there are certain players that.
But he won't tell you.
I know.
So you don't. So he
you
might.
You don't know.
He may have very well thought Muhammad Wilkerson would be a stud in his.
And I know
system.
You guys laugh at in Bill We Trust, but a guy that's freaking smart is not going to be that dumb when it comes.
Well,
to
then why does he miss on all the second round picks?
I just
because I agree with you.
Not all, but I mean,
a long list of second round.
But why can't you be very smart?
Isn't there?
I trust him more than anyone, but I trust him more the closer he is to the number one.
I just show. I think it just shows you how the draft is so inexact.
Right.
And I think if we were covering almost every other team, we'd be saying the same thing. It's just an inexact science.
Right, but the issue is he does the same thing. And even he called himself out last year. You remember he said something to the effect of, sooner or later you need to use them. Picks can't play, or you can't send picks out on the field against the Jets.
Right, no.
And I think even that has given people hope that sooner or later he's going to use them.
Right.
And last year was another year that he didn't.
And a lot of people feel like this year with the rookie wage scale now set, even though it was in place last year, it wasn't at the draft.
Yeah.
They didn't know for sure that it was going to be in place come
separate
August.
Lawsuit.
Right.
Right.
Cam Newton,
who knows?
Should be suing.
Who knows? Maybe someone would have drafted someone with the assumption, and then, you know, that would have violated a gentleman's agreement. Whatever.
Oh.
Wow.
That's Paul Perillo.
So a lot of people right now, I think, are using Andy's
words for as optimism.
And maybe we'll see that change.
Maybe they won't trade the picks this year because it's more cost effective.
What do we do, like 9 hours of draft shows?
Yes. Oh, God. And we're bound to say something stupid, by the way.
No. My point is...
Who brought the fat kid?
It would make a heck of a lot better radio for us if he took those picks. I'd like to see that. I mean, it's more exciting.
Right.
Know? So, but I...
But I just think you say he's a smart guy. Why wouldn't he? Well, can't you be a very smart guy and still have a difference of opinion in terms of some of his personnel things? Like,
yeah,
I don't think that he has been, I don't think he's been as right with his personnel decisions as you think he is.
No, but I think that's the hardest part.
I think he's so good, it doesn't matter.
That's the hardest part of his job. There's no doubt about it. I mean, the coaching part is probably easy for
him. But don't you think he makes it harder?
Oh, whoa. I'm not sure the coaching part's easy. I think he makes it look easy.
Yeah.
I think if you can't criticize Bill Belichick in anything,
no,
it's coaching.
No, for
him. I think you can criticize him for personnel.
For him, the coaching part is a lot easier than personnel. And I think any guy that wore both hats, I would say it's really hard to judge these guys. It's so hard.
Right.
And it's really inexact. And
but we can still criticize
him. If we knew other teams as well as we know the Patriots, we'd be saying the same thing about their drafts.
And part of it is we don't have a track record for most teams because most teams don't have a 12-year general manager or 14-year general manager.
That's a good point, too.
You know, you have Colbert. You have some that are entrenched in places. But a lot of places where the guy makes a couple mistakes for 2, 3, 4 years, you start recording a different GM's picks in 2, 3, 4 years. So it turns over.
I mean, it would be so nice.
This is going to be one of those sarcastic things.
No, it would be so nice.
I just did you see he threw it in at one point? He doesn't try to miss on picks. Just because he's trying doesn't make it okay.
But it would be so nice that if before he retired, he kind of went over the thinking.
Went balls to the wall and traded up?
No. If he sat down and it doesn't have to be with us, but with somebody.
Michael
and explain
Hollis.
What's going on with all this. I don't care who
but
it is.
But I think we have a reasonable idea. I would like to. I would be more fascinated to know on an individual year basis.
What do you think of those players?
The individuals.
Yes.
Because we say that he's a really smart guy, and I certainly agree with that. If he were to, he would be able to sell me on virtually any evaluation. If he had said to me, to use Andy's example, Muhammad Wilkerson, you know what? He's too A, B, and C to do the things that we want him to do in our system, and we didn't see it as a fit. Or even if he said, you know what, judging on what he did, say 5 years from now, probably a misevaluation on our part. Maybe he was more of a fit
in
what we wanted him to do.
A lot of those.
I would love to hear
but it
that kind of candor. And
you
I don't think
know.
You can never get
because
that.
Robert Gallery, for all we know, he thinks somebody else effed up Robert Gallery, not that Robert Gallery was a failure.
That's true.
Well, that's
so
why
you never know.
That's
you
Andy's
know.
Point about I don't care what the player that gets drafted somewhere else does.
Yeah.
I would only care if he got drafted here and failed.
Right.
Luckily, we have a lot of those to look at.
Let's go to the phones.
You
we haven't
you
heard.
Always
from
have to take it to a bad place.
We haven't heard from him in a while. Jeff is in Vegas. Hey, Jeff.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Some people catch up to you. You had to lay low for a while.
Yeah. Well, again, I don't get that excited this time of year, and here's why. And it harkens back to the only good point that Eric Scalavino has ever contributed to the show.
Wow.
Namely, for all the fanfare of like Haynesworth and Ocho Cinco last year, they really didn't have any impact. And so the question I would have is it the most talented team that wins the Super Bowl, or is it the team that makes the most plays?
Or is it the team with the best coach and quarterback?
Yeah, so it's like what's frustrating, Andy, and by the way, I'm doing swimmingly.
I mean, you can certainly you can certainly argue now that Manning and you're talking about who else has a great quarterback and a great coach? Manning and Coughlin now have to be in that conversation of the combo.
And I think
neither of them is better than Belichick nor Brady.
I agree.
But together, they have a combination that is unlike most teams in the league.
And I think the similarities to the Patriots are striking because I don't think it's necessarily an overly talented team top to bottom.
Right.
I think that very much like we say here, as long as you have Brady and Belichick, you have a shot. I think that Giants fans would be very well within their rights to say, as long as we have Coughlin and Eli, we got a shot.
The difference is they lose games they shouldn't in the regular season, where for the most part
the Patriots don't. The Patriots might lose one.
Right.
The Giants seem to lose two or three of those every year.
They're in a tougher division, too, I would say.
Yeah, but they shouldn't be losing twice to Washington.
Yeah.
That's like losing twice to Buffalo.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what's really been frustrating in the past two Super Bowls is, like, Tyree makes the play in 07, Samuel doesn't, and, you know, Woods can't recover the fumble. Then this past Super Bowl, Manningham makes the play, and Brady and Welker don't.
Right.
So what hurts is that the scrubs, like Tyree and Manningham, are the ones who are making the plays when our playmakers, you know, Samuel, Brady, and Welker aren't, for two straight Super Bowls.
It's ironic. I don't know if it means anything.
I certainly don't think Mario Manningham's a scrub.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fair comparison. One's a jag
like
and one is a
Dave Tyree, okay.
And on the other end of that play was Manning.
The David Tyree catch is one of the biggest all-time flukes in sports.
Seymour.
Oh, that
anything,
was,
anything you want to say about that play, I think, in a sarcastic or negative way, I'm wholeheartedly on board with. Every other play, I think, is... I mean, Mario Manningham to Eli Manning to Manningham was just a great football play by a guy who was playing great in Manning and a guy who made a great catch.
And a guy who Belichick said, make him beat us. Son of a bitch, he beat us.
What are you going to do? Sometimes you got to tip your cap. You know, who was better, Mario Manningham or is it Sterling Moore and Patrick Chung on that play, right?
Yes.
Who's better? Who's the better player out of those three guys?
I think it's closer. Tie between Chung and Manningham.
I think Manningham and Chung are pretty
remember,
close.
Manningham
their NFL
made a
starters
lot of amazing
weren't great.
Catches yeah. throughout the year. It's, this isn't like the, Tyree was not the, in the
no.
same class
I mean,
as Manningham.
Not at all. I mean, a month earlier, no one knew who Sterling Moore was.
Well, no one's comparing.
Or a month earlier, no one knew who David Tyree was
either. If Sterling Moore had broken up that play or picked off that pass to cement the Super Bowl, people went, you know, let's say he had like a one-handed catch on an interception. People might look at that like the David Tyree catch.
Oh, they definitely would.
Like this,
but the comparison
unknown,
you made
this unknown rookie.
Chung. I think
yeah,
Chung
well,
and Manningham
I don't think
are in a similar
they're
class.
They're pretty similar.
They're starters who aren't that great.
Okay, I don't, but that's okay. I think, especially in terms of pass coverage, I think Chung is below average at pass coverage, and he was late on the play.
We're just comparing players.
Yeah, I think Manningham's a better player than Patrick Chung.
I think he and Chung are kind of same mix of middling players.
Okay,
Eric's still here.
No, I was trying to look up the. Which team had abstained from that vote for the salary cap penalties.
But it is time for...
And it looks like it was Tampa Bay, according to Mike Freeman, I believe.
They didn't have the money to vote.
Are you ready with a London update?
Sure.
Okay.
Got one this past couple of days at the owners' meeting.
The walkthrough in Moscow?
Yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
Are we supposed to have music or something?
Yeah, we're waiting for it.
He's busy.
He's effing now. Useless.
Short notice.
Yeah, we gave Matt the same short notice, and he just punched it up.
Do you want to wait for the music?
I got to get some more coke.
That's all right. Just give us the update.
All right, well. Yeah,
you
Bill.
Think it's not sponsored.
Bill was asked about it the other day at the breakfast, you know, because as in my last report, we had said that team representatives had gone over to London to start the preps. And
no, in your last report, you said, I have a tour scheduled for Saturday morning where I'm going to see all the sites.
That was the secondary part of the report.
Okay, sorry, go.
So it looks like we're going to do according to Bill, pretty much the same routine as we did the last time, getting there on a Thursday. Well, leaving on a Thursday, getting there on a Friday morning, having a practice, having a Saturday, and then Sunday being the game, probably leaving on the Monday. That's what the routine was the last time, and Bill said it, you know, worked so well in 09. We're probably going to do something very similar. Might be a few things we do a little differently, but all in all, we were happy with how it worked out then. Probably going to do the same thing this time. So for those of us hoping for an entire week out there, it's probably not going to be probably not going to happen.
You're the only one.
I know.
Then he had his funny quote.
I know. Then he had his funny quote because he said, why are you guys asking now? Are you getting ready to go yourselves? You could go to... You know, Paris, Amsterdam, swing down to Rome, then come back and
Saturday
watch.
Walkthrough.
Maybe
in
we'll
Moscow.
Do a Saturday walkthrough in Moscow. Yeah.
Ba-ding. Psh.
All right. Let's go to the emails. Thank you for
that
one.
When Tom Curran asked him? You know,
yeah,
he
that was
planning
the
on bringing
Curran
his
question.
Family over for
yes,
vacation.
Exactly.
Boy, everybody had the same idea.
Darius writes in: 4 more weeks till Bill Belichick trades back to the 27th pick and drafts an offensive tackle. I'm not listening to anything you guys say about first-round defensive end outside linebacker.
Me either.
Not going to let you guys get me hyped up, only to be disappointed when I read the ticker tape scrolling by and showing that the Patriots have traded the 27th pick. I'm just focusing on second-round players where Belichick loves to draft. Moving on, it's obvious that if they went to the 18-game season, teams would need more bodies in order to endure the longer season. How do you think that will be handled when it comes to the quarterback? Will that make the backup quarterback even more valuable? because chances are they will need to play at some point late in the season. And what if the team is in the race to make the playoffs?
No.
Does an 18-game season make a backup quarterback more valuable than he is now?
No, because you can't touch him in the extra two, just like you can't touch him now.
Yeah.
I mean, how many Matt Schaub?
I mean, obviously Manning.
Well,
went
starters, but that was not an injury related to the season or anything.
Yeah,
that was,
I mean, I think every year you see a handful of quarterbacks get hurt and have to miss time, but
I don't think it'll change any.
I personally think the whole backup quarterback phenomena in the NFL is one of the most overrated things that we have in the league.
RL writes in.
What do you think? Do you not? I mean, am I wrong on that?
I don't know.
Like
I don't
the
get
whole
angry about
you
it.
Got
you see too.
No. There's no anger there at all. I'm just I hear a lot of people talking about that. Well, you got to have a backup. You know, like Bill Polian was ripped because didn't have an adequate.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
You know, I don't think it's that. I don't think it's anywhere near. If your starting quarterback is hurt, you're probably not going to make the playoffs. If your starting quarterback misses a lot of time, and I think that's the same for anybody. I think that some coaches are obviously they prove their mettle the way Belichick did in 08, and they show that it doesn't have to be a lost season. It doesn't have to go down the toilet. But you're probably not a threat if you lose your starting quarterback, unless you don't have a very good starting quarterback.
Well, I look at it two ways, and both of them aren't very positive. I'm with you. If you lose your starter, you're in trouble. But you can have a young guy who, to me, you probably have a 25% chance that you could go on a run and have a castle-like chance at the playoffs,
sure,
but probably a 75% chance that you're going to struggle because he's a young quarterback. Or you can go the veteran route, which is generally a guy who's proven he can't play in the league for extended periods of time, which you're probably going to have a better job to not suck, but you're not going to be good. You're going to be some middling team.
And for some reason, everybody seems to be infatuated with plan B in Andy's scenario.
Whereas,
like, you got to have a Billy Volek.
I mean, I think there was a chance that Curtis Painter was good, and they were successful. They played. You know what I mean? There's less of a chance of it, but there's at least a chance. Whereas I think if you bring in one of these Jags who's already proven he can't play, then he still can't play. He might be a little more veteran-like and experienced and under control, and you won't make any plays and you won't win games.
Now, it wouldn't be bad if you had maybe
a vet. Be like guys like Jeff Hostetler or Craig Morton would come in and you could.
See, I think Jeff Hostetler was a perfect example. He was a young guy who had never played, and he kind of caught the 25% theory of Andy.
Elvis Gerback.
And then he got his own team, and he stunk.
What about Elvis Gerback? I know he's
Elvis,
a name, but I don't know what you're talking about.
He was streaky.
See, but there's another starting quarterback.
Right.
I mean.
No. I look at him as a backup that became
but
a
But the Patriots
no,
had
he was
Rohan.
The opposite. He was a backup. He was a starter who became a backup.
Mm. The Patriots had Rohan Davey as their backup. The guy couldn't play in any league professionally. Anywhere that had a paycheck, he wasn't good enough to play in that league. And yet no one's screaming that Bill Belichick had Rohan Davey as his backup because Tom Brady never got hurt.
Right.
Otherwise, they would have been shredded when they saw how bad he was.
Right.
And when Brady did get hurt, they had a competent backup.
And they locked out.
And obviously Bill.
They didn't know it.
And obviously Bill knew it with Davey because he sent him into Europe
right
one year.
And he didn't know it with Castle because he was bringing in veterans and he had his issues in the preseason.
Since high school.
So there's a lot of luck involved when your backup quarterback comes in and you have success.
I would say so, sure.
You're not built for him on any level.
But like I said, I think Belichick really showed his mettle that year. I think he coached an unbelievable season.
And he lucked out and got the 25% where the guy was a competitive NFL player.
But I feel like if you have, unless you have like a veteran on the way down, like let's say, you know, like a David Garrard type. He wasn't a great quarterback by any means when he was in his heyday with the Jags, but he played all right. No, let's just say he's no longer a starting quarterback, and you know, but he's still looking to kick around. I wouldn't mind having a veteran like that as my backup.
Yeah, but he's just a guy.
Now that's too expensive.
But there is no.
But even him,
you
I'm
don't
saying,
say, like,
there
I think
are,
go
there
eight
are
eight.
No guys.
But I
eight,
think.
Eight.
See, I think if I had a good team, and say in week 10 my starting quarterback got hurt, I would have reasonable amount of faith that he could step in and not steer the ship into the side of the
Were the Patriots
mountain.
A good team last year?
The Patriots, yeah, of course they
were. See, I think at best David Garrard goes 500 with however many games he plays with the New England Patriots of last
year. But I
year.
Think it's at very best. I think well, it's
I think
very
best
rare.
Case scenario is 500 for every game he starts.
Well, certainly, I mean, I know that you didn't mean it like this, but certainly not with the way that they finished the season. You think they were going to lose to those teams regardless of who was playing quarterback?
Yeah.
I think David Garrard stinks.
I think it's very rare.
Okay, well,
in this
give
league.
Me another example of a
guy
guys
that prove they can't start.
No, I don't think David Garrard stinks.
That in this league,
I don't like his
any
hats.
Backup quarterback, it's rare that any backup quarterback is
he's
someone
insane.
Who you know could win as a starter elsewhere in the league.
Yeah.
It's rare to have that guy.
That's my
well,
point.
That's
the
it's
starter
true.
Goes down, you're
that's
I almost said a bad word.
It's true.
Yes, you're
it's
screwed.
Either a guy who is, like you said, beyond his years and can't start anymore, or a guy you just don't know yet.
Right. Right.
You know.
And that's why I think it's one of the most overrated things.
So I don't think, Bill Polian, and he has pulled a Wes Welker here. He has made the criticisms of him worse by admitting, I should have done a better job with, no, you shouldn't have. You had a young backup quarterback that you had some confidence in.
Well, I also
just
like
Bill Belichick did. Yours sucked. His was okay. You win some, you lose some.
Yeah. I don't know. Painter would seem extraordinarily bad.
Well, he was terrible, but he played better than Kerry Collins did.
Matt Cassel looked like crap when he first started. He was a deer in headlights, but he developed.
I
don't think Curtis Painter looked as bad as everybody makes him out to be.
Well,
he had one good pass and then two bad ones. He was really bad.
He was light years better than Rohan Davey.
Well,
I know you love Ramblin' Row, but I
agree with that.
Yeah.
But that's a really low bar that you're setting.
But he was Bill Belichick's backup quarterback.
I'm just saying, it's still a low bar. And
the only difference is that he never had a chance to prove it.
No, but if you're a Colts fan and you choose to criticize Bill Polian for making him the backup, I think it's a valid criticism.
See, I don't. I think
it's
he went.
Just like it's a valid criticism to say Rohan Davey.
But who's the option?
They're both bad.
So who should you have gotten?
Right.
I don't know, but just saying.
There's no right answer because there's no good backups quarterbacks because if they were good, they'd be starters.
But there's a lot that
there's
are better than Curtis Painter.
Huh?
See, I disagree. I think that you might have a young guy that you know nothing about who might be the next best thing, like the Matt Flynn's of the world.
Matt Shaw.
We'll find out. Yeah. We'll find out about Matt.
Wait, not
Matt Shaw. Matt Shaw was a very high draft pick.
Yeah, but he backed up Michael Vick.
But they drafted him to be a star.
Okay.
I mean, Matt Schaub was, I want to say, the first pick of the second round.
He was a second round pick.
I know, but I think he was very early in the second round. We all know how we treat those. They're like first rounders.
First rounders,
not like late first round picks that are like second rounders.
depends who's making the picks, Paul.
No, but Matt Schaub and Curtis Painter are not the same thing.
No.
Is he that high?
Okay.
I thought he was a fourth round pick.
Who?
Ramblin' Row.
Fourth round.
Yeah. Oof, wow. Not a terrible pick.
Kevin O'Connell was a third.
Yeah. I know. Ryan Mallett was a third.
And Kevin O'Connell was every bit as ineffective as Rohan Davey.
Oh, yeah. They're similar in their inability.
In their erratic nature.
Great
guys, both of them, by the way.
Yes, true. Like Brian Hoyer. Is he on the line?
Cliff Kingsbury, sixth round pick.
He was a nice guy, too. He had that bad shoulder injury that started his career off.
RL writes, and there's
we have
a guy,
him on IR for 8 weeks now.
There's a guy that's been talked about a whole lot around here lately by the name of Mike Wallace that was totally available for Bill in the third round, but passed for another receiver by the name of Brandon Tate, who is no longer here. When
Correct.
I think of Bill's drafting record, that's what comes to mind.
Wow.
One thing.
See, I think that's unfair to defend you, Fred.
Not that he got Rob Gronkowski. He targeted him and said, I want Gronkowski. Nope, we'll forget that. We'll focus on the negative. I like this guy.
Paul says, I compare trading down in the draft to drawing in to an inside straight in poker. It's possible, but not as probable.
I don't know what that means.
So you're going for the long shot, maybe. I guess is that what he's saying?
Well, I don't think Bill looks at it that way.
No, I don't either.
I think he thinks every pick is a long shot. So if he has more picks, it's increasing his odds because he's got a 50-50 of more.
And I think that's the part that I would disagree
with.
I think it's easier to get a good player coming from Loserville.
And,
you know, there's a lot of people that say there's not that much of a difference between 20 and 40. I'd be one that thinks that's crap.
It's Loserville.
Baloney.
Because it's Bill saying, I don't trust myself to pick at 20. I'd rather pick twice at 40. I got a 50-50 chance one of them's going to be good. You know what, Bill? I have more faith in you than that. You're a genius. Go get the best player you can find at 20.
Craig in Ottawa says, I just want to say I hope we take all Alabama or LSU defenders. We need stars, not scrubs. Even the worst players on both of those defenses are better than what we have. My question is, what scrub off of Alabama or LSU do you see Belichick selecting?
I do have my eye on their number two corner. Where is he, Paul? Get the number two corner, Bama.
I'll look that
up. He plays the star in Nick Saban's defense, which means he could play it here. Saban sees him as a cover safety at the next level, something the Patriots might be in the market for.
Bill is at the pro day
with
reportedly.
Josh McDaniels, because Paul thinks Bill is in semi-retirement, letting Josh.
Daquan Menzie.
Daquan, is that him?
He's from Alabama. He's a cornerback.
I think that's the other one. Their number two corner, who moved inside in passing situations. Keep an eye on him. He's like a mid to late round pick.
Yeah, I mean, I know you're not talking about Kirkpatrick.
No, I think
that's the other one from Alabama, and
yeah,
I haven't seen him yet. Daquan Menzie.
He would be the scrub. We'll take 5'10",
202.
But yeah, did you notice that Josh McDaniels is there? So there's two reasons for that. One, he really, really is getting an ear of the coach and is now involved in everything. Or we're trading up for Trent Richardson.
Oh, getting a little inside scoop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Richardson.
There you go, that'd Andy, be, getting everybody's hope up again.
That'd have to be top five.
I'm not getting anybody's hope up this year, by the way, for defensive end, outside linebacker
We've
types.
Given
I don't
up.
Really like
yeah.
any.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, well, is that it's not overly deep like
last
year.
All the good ones were in last year.
And they didn't do it last year.
And we don't think they're
going
to be in line to get the ones that we like this year.
Right. This is another year where you take Jermaine Cunningham in the second, and he's inactive in year two.
Last year, there were a lot of quote-unquote consolation prizes that we liked.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, to varying degrees, guys like Brooks Reed and Jabal Sheard and, you know, Justin Houston,
mm-hmm.
it's the guy from Georgia that I liked, right?
DC. Yeah.
There was some quote-unquote consolation. I don't really seen that many guys like that this year. I'm sure we'll find them as we continue the process.
Consolation guys all had 6.5 sacks or more.
No, I know. It was a very deep draft
like
last year
at that
position.
The most interesting Patriots fan in the world, James Pettigrew, writes in. He says, to Andy and Paul, what would it take to restore your complete trust in Bill's drafting ability? How many successful drafts would it take? Or is it more about taking more risks versus value?
Having more confidence.
No, I think the first part of that, if he just, you know, just getting back to the selections that we made, I think, in our heyday. Like,
I just want him to be confident,
you know,
in himself. Pick
01 to 05, I think those drafts were outstanding.
Yeah, but weren't we kind of building rosters back then rather than kind of replenishing them?
It's the
picking,
same thing.
Picking I mean, last in the first
just
round
pick
every
talent.
Year?
You just know, pick
there,
talent.
There were more openings for jobs.
I don't know how you can think that
have
this,
you seen
this,
this
roster,
defense?
How can you think
there's
this
about
roster,
nine starting jobs up for grabs?
How can you think this roster is more stacked than a team that won three Super Bowls in 4 years?
They built to that.
No,
what
I'm saying is those drafts were done. They were picking the bottom of the first round. 32 they were picking in 02, 04, and 05.
A lot of those guys were even picked before
and they were
Belichick
getting,
got here.
And they were
yes.
No.
No, he's saying
I'm saying that
the
drafts
the
were excellent. They were picking last in the first round.
Right.
And they did
last
better
in those round.
Drafts than they did in the last five.
You know, guys stuck because, you know, they got more playing time.
Somehow they didn't have as many.
Do you even wonder if the words you're saying will fit the argument you're trying to
somehow
make?
Somehow they didn't have as many there. Openings trying to crack the lineup of a three-time Super Bowl champion as they do now.
The 31st-ranked
defense.
They weren't three-time Super Bowl champions until after 04.
Until they won the third Super Bowl.
Until after.
Let's see. Nathaniel writes in, one thing that I'm marginally concerned about this season is that the Bills got our best or second best pass rusher in Mark Anderson. Do you think that our thinning depth at O-line will be dramatically affected by Bills' new high-powered D-line? How will they match up?
Where's the new high-powered D-line?
Oh,
the Bills.
The Bills.
Oh, okay.
Now that they've got
oh,
Mark Anderson.
I thought he meant Bills.
I did, too. I did the same thing. I think you might have read that wrong.
Oh, well, I knew what I was reading.
I think you read as Bills.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
Well, as the Bills.
I'm not afraid of Mark
Anderson.
I think
Anderson.
You skipped
no, the not
thought. Not either.
Not, yeah. You're not a, Mario Williams? I'm afraid of him.
Out of these two, I was the only one that kind of wanted Mark Anderson back, and I'm not afraid of Mark Anderson.
Pocket change as a pass rusher, as Paul Perillo would put it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Certainly would not have given him $28
million. If Marcus can't – oh, hell, I'm afraid of Mario Williams and the right tackle here. Oh, whoever the right tackle is here, I'm afraid of him.
And that's
Marcus
and
Cannon,
that's a position, by the
Sebastian
way,
Vollmer.
That could be in flux because of the situation health-wise with Sebastian
that's
Vollmer.
Another thing. Am I misreading, or as Roger would say, misremembering, that his back got healthy and then he had the foot injury, right?
Well, he still had a back problem.
He still had
he
back problems.
He was listed as back, comma, foot.
Yeah, I know, but I think
the back came
the
first.
Why are you nodding at me?
The back.
I don't know what that means.
No, he had back problems.
He was always listed as
early
back
in the year.
Earlier in the year,
when he missed time,
foot got
right.
added.
Foot got added.
No,
I know
that. Listed with back problems,
but he played through the back issue.
He played through the back issue.
Yeah, for like a game.
For a while.
Right, and then he hurt his foot.
Yeah,
and then he missed time with a foot injury.
Okay.
Foot slash back.
No, I know, but that's what they always do. Tom Brady had a shoulder injury for 15 years. I know they didn't take the back injury off because he was still on it
fast.
No. He was still on the injury report with a back injury. Even when he returned,
no, I know.
Right.
He was limited
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Right.
And then played. And then he hurt his foot.
Right.
And then he missed time. So should I not assume that the foot injury, that was a new injury, is the reason he missed time?
That's the reason he was still suffering from the back. But I think
Paul, he's always going to have a back. He had back surgery.
Well, that's the thing. I think Paul's point is
Gronk's
you
not
don't,
listed with a back
you can't
problem.
Be
he
sure
had back
about
surgery.
It's not hurt.
Even if the foot clears up, he's got the back.
Right.
You know, so that's what you're
saying.
Something popped into my eye.
If you want to use Gronk as the example, he had an ankle injury.
Gronkle-doodle-doo.
And then he played in the Super Bowl, so the ankle injury wasn't keeping him out. But if they had another game after the Super Bowl, and I found out he hurt his shoulder in the Super Bowl and he missed the next game, I would assume he missed the next game with the shoulder because he played through the ankle.
Right.
So I'm assuming the injury that kept him out of the lineup most of the second half of the season
was
the foot, not the back.
Okay. So what
that's not as big a concern to me as the back, which he had surgery on.
Right.
that I think of is if the back hurt him all of last year, now I'm saying his career could be in doubt. I don't know. It's a guy who had a major back injury in college. Now he has a season-long back injury in the NFL.
But they were still, it was still enough that they were listing it.
Yeah, but he played through it.
I understand. You know, but it's just something you have to worry. Health is something you have to worry about with Vollmer. No? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what he's...
You have to worry about it more... Are you in one of those Paul Perillo moments right now? No matter what we say, you're just going to say, I'm not buying it.
Well, I just... I'm trying to...
Because you have a Paul look in your face right
now. Read the injury report as it was written and utilized.
I understand that part of it, and I agree with you on that part of it, but would you not admit that what Fred said there is true? There's more of a risk with him in terms of his back than the average guy.
Sure.
I mean, even more than Gronk.
But
Gronk
there
hasn't had any
until
back
he
problems.
Re-injured it. But and I don't even know that he re-injured it. It could be a totally different back problem.
It could be, you know, just
could have been a muscular problem as opposed to a skeletal.
Right. But whatever it is, don't you have more concerns about him in terms of his long-term availability than you do the average guy?
Uh-huh.
I didn't until he had a second back injury. But my point is, if the second back injury healed to the point where he could play, then I'm less concerned.
But he couldn't have been playing through pain that was going to require surgery?
He had surgery.
I don't know.
Oh. If he has a second surgery, then I'm concerned. And I'm really concerned because I'm concerned about Marcus Cannon facing Mario Williams twice a year.
I'm just concerned about you.
I'm telling you, he's got that Paul look on his face.
Josh and
we
Arlington.
Ain't winning this one.
Josh and Arlington.
Mickey Loomis doesn't do anything.
We ain't winning this one, Freddie. Move on.
Anyone who takes Andy's word to mean they should be optimistic about Belichick using the picks must have short memory. Aren't we talking about the same Andy who tries his hardest to get fans all riled up about a player in the draft that will not only not be available when the Patriots pick, but also a player that Belichick would never draft? Sounds about right to me.
I don't get it.
How can those two things be true?
Andy gets us...
A guy that's not available when we pick and a guy that Belichick will never draft. How can we say that those things are true?
Well, if you add them both, then there's no way we pick them.
No, my point is, how do we know the guy is a guy that Belichick would never draft?
We don't.
If he's not available.
Not available. Yeah.
Obviously, Josh is assuming that.
And we don't know that he would never draft Robert Quinn, right?
Well, that's my point.
He never got
to
that point.
We'll never know.
He decided he didn't want to trade up to get him. He didn't want a pass rusher.
The other part of that is, I think that people
didn't want any pass rushers like,
people give us way too much credit. When Andy falls in love with Robert Quinn, it's not in an effort to generate ratings or to like get some
it's
excitement.
It's true love.
It's true love.
Right.
I mean, I could show you the poster upstairs of Robert Quinn and Andy's cube. It's not because we're trying to generate like this false excitement among
true.
The fans,
which I pointed out to this year. Have you heard me rave about a pass rusher?
No,
because I don't have one to rave about, which means they'll draft one. And you'll have three sacks.
And I do know there's some other...
Career?
Career?
I got my free lunch for that sack bet I had.
Jermaine
Cunningham.
Mm. Yeah, there are some other radio shows that do stuff like that.
I got my free lunch from you yet.
What do I owe you a free lunch for?
For still
lasting
being
more
here.
More than 11 months. You don't remember that?
I didn't know it was impossible to get fired at this place.
Sure you did. You've lasted this long.
You now have visitors laughing in the background. We have visitors.
It's always my goal.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Eric in Houston. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey,
how
Eric.
You doing?
I'm calling to get your guys' opinion on the safety out of Notre Dame, Harrison Smith, and if he'd be a possibly good fit in New England.
I like him.
He's fast. I mean, that's athletic. I think that's what really got the notice up for
him. Dion loves him. Any guy that Dion thinks is a corner-like cover guy. What, Paul?
Especially.
I'm intrigued by, you know, and certainly he is the freer of the safeties. You know, Mark Barron is considered the best safety in the draft, but he's more
stronger.
Of a strong safety. Mm-hmm. The connection there is the Saban defense, the similarities between the defenses, and just the fact that you may be getting an elite player who falls because of the injury concerns. And you say, is Patrick Chung elite? Do I just make my defense better by getting Mark Barron and figuring out how to use him? Whereas Harrison Smith is more of a need-based pick.
But I do like the player.
Yeah, he's definitely the second best safety, and as I said, probably the best cover safety, you know, free safety type with that fluidity to play in the passing game more so than Barron.
All right, I got one more quick question. I've been a huge Pats fan since the beginning of the 06 season, and I still haven't seen him win a Super Bowl. Is there any chance that Brady could actually win one before his contract's up?
Of course there is.
Actually.
If you're a fan.
You just got Fred mad. Actually.
Second time today.
Of course. I mean, you know, they've had a chance twice since then, but they'll get it done. They'll get it done. He's got three, four more years.
Will he complete the passes this time?
I really want to see him win one.
So do I.
All right.
Another one.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks,
Eric. And by the way, he spells his name with a K.
Really?
Eric with a K.
Okay.
As in.
Olivier's in Virginia. Kangaroo. Hey, Olivier.
Yes.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Can't take
any. Hey, quick question. What do you guys make of the hiring of Sims? Is this a favor because of...
Oh, absolutely.
Because, you know, Sims has never... He never says anything good about us when he comments, when he broadcasts our games.
All right. Well,
are you serious?
Now, I love playing that when I'm on the blog, but, but, in all fairness, he's not as bad as fans think he is when it comes to the Patriots.
Oh, my God. I disagree with you.
No. Why?
I disagree with you.
I think he has open love letters to Belichick on the air.
They have the longest production meetings on the planet where they make out for hours.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't see that movie.
Not literally.
Good, Olivier. Good.
But I thought for sure this would put an end to the whole Phil Sims hates us.
X-rated version?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
But I mean, literally, you don't see that there's a relationship, an alliance, a respect, or whatever. He hired the guy's son. You think the guy would hate the guy and then say, "Can you hire my son?"
No, I guess not. I guess not. But I wonder what he's going to do for us.
Well, he's a
it's what we're doing for him.
Well, I mean, theoretically, you could look at it. In all likelihood, Godsey is going to be your tight end coach, so he's not going to be there to coddle.
Oh, really?
Ryan.
It seemed that did he move to tight ends?
I said in all likelihood.
Why do you say that?
Because they have an opening for a tight end for one, and they haven't announced one.
Why Godsey?
Because he didn't go to Penn State, and he's the next highest assistant on the list.
And I think there's a good chance.
You said tight ends, though.
Oh, my freaking God.
Just I think he said tight ends.
Why wouldn't he be a quarterback's coach?
Because Josh McDaniels is here.
Josh McDaniels, the coordinator, has always been the quarterback's coach as well.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Plus, you don't have anybody else. Who are you going to make your tight ends coach?
I mean, I don't know.
And Matt
we never know who the
– Okay, well, let's just say
here in the building
it seems
that
likely
no
that
right
the in-house
now.
Candidate is George Godsey. That would leave an opening for maybe that developmental quarterback's coach position that Godsey was in last year. In training camp, we saw him with Ryan Mallett every day for extra half hour.
Right.
So if that person's not there, Chris Sims might make a likely candidate to slide into that role.
I'll bet – well, I don't know, but I would imagine Godsey stays in that role with Mallett.
Yeah, I agree.
And I
don't see Sims.
Just so you know,
how come when Paul nods, people notice?
Now Fred is playing the role of Paul, and just you ain't winning this one, Andy. So let's just move on. Yeah.
Titles are fine. Nothing wrong with them.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right.
Bet a lunch
Thanks,
on
Olivier.
It? You want to bet a lunch on it?
That Godsey becomes the tight ends coach?
Yeah.
I wouldn't if I
were you.
Oh, do you know? I mean, do you guys?
No.
Loser buys lunch for the show.
I mean, you know,
loser buys lunch for the show.
Tight ends.
Loser buys lunch for the show.
God. Tight ends kind of an important.
Kevin, he's telling you to buy lunch.
It was so important that you had the most important players on your team coached by a first year tight ends coach. That's how important it was.
Oh, this kid's pretty good.
Who?
The Ferentz kid.
So how do you know Sims isn't good? It's the same thing. It's one of your guys' sons.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know. I'm
telling you, you are not going to win this. He has the Paul look in his eye now that you had about 10 minutes
ago.
Yeah,
I'm not
but
with you there.
He's arguing fact again.
Well, let's go to Ken in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, man.
Mickey Loomis.
How you doing?
How are you guys?
What's up?
Well, Ken in sunny, warm North Carolina.
All right. Great.
I don't know. A couple of things. First of all, Fred.
Yeah.
I agree with your alpaca farm. I think it's a great idea.
You agree with it. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Why?
Of all sports, all my life.
This is the greatest show
and,
ever.
I think this is a wonderful idea. And actually, even if you spend $20,000 on your fencing, and by the way, I think your tree guy has overcharged you. But...
This isn't North Carolina
now. Yeah, not in this neck of the woods, because I've had trees taken down. But anyway, keep going, Ken. I like where you're going so far.
You know, frankly, I think you're going to make a lot of money on it.
Oh, I'm not doing it for money. I'm not, you know.
Well, I know, but the...
for the love of your pocket.
He's trying to placate his wife.
Right.
you make some money on that wool.
Yeah.
Believe me, brother.
Oh, I know.
The other thing, apparently the last time I spoke to you, somebody complained about my voice.
Really?
I'm not cool. That's a nice voice.
And
well, I didn't want to gay it up, but I don't remember anybody having problems.
Profound apologies. That's what God gave me. Yeah, I can't go from there.
I think it's pretty good.
No,
yeah.
You got a great voice.
I don't have any problem with your voice at all. And I apologize if I was making fun of it.
No doubt about it.
Who was complaining? On the air?
You know, my apologies to that fellow.
Yeah, tell him to go bleep himself.
Yeah, no, it's nothing. Hey, nothing wrong with the way you speak.
What I do.
Tony Maserati would kill for your voice.
Bill Simmons.
The thing is, safeties and quarterbacks. I'm kind of assuming that Coach Bill really is looking to the draft, get some strong help back there.
Well, certainly at safety. I think safety is a huge need position, even with Gregory coming in. The corner is a little weird. It depends on what he thinks of the people he has. If Sterling Moore is legit developmentally,
Rozai Dowling.
If McCourty, if he thinks he can get back,
Rozai, mostly for health reasons.
Word.
Yeah.
We need some really big safety issues here.
Yes.
Yep.
And if you want a big safety, Stephen Gregory's not the guy.
No.
Because we ran into him last week, and he's tiny.
No. What we need is 6'3", 220, and fast.
Like me.
Well, that would be abnormal for a safety in this league, but...
Yes, it would.
That would be great.
But somebody who has the reach, who can overpower
the receivers,
and also... has the quickness to not get behind them.
Do you have any like NFL comparisons? Someone playing that you have in mind?
Honestly, I don't.
Yeah, I can't really come up with one either.
Well, to be honest with you, the guys that look like that rarely play well enough.
Right, LaRon Landry.
Remember the guy out of Virginia Tech I loved that's now been on like five teams?
What's his name?
This is where I need you to fill in the name.
Well, by the way, Rex is at it again. At the owners' meeting, talking about LaRon Landry, he's like, "Where do you see this dude? Like, no one's seen him before.
Yeah.
You know, what?
It's so mad.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Why does he keep stepping in it like that?
Because he is what he is.
No, you're right. He can't help himself.
Neither could you. If you were an NFL head coach, you'd step in it every day.
Oh, please.
You do now. You're not even a coach.
I would be much more careful with my words if I was an NFL.
And that's fine. Just be who you are. I mean, Belichick is who he is. Ryan is who he is. Coughlin took a nice shot at Ryan's team.
Aaron Rouse,
yes.
Wow.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Okay.
A lot of those guys that are 6'3 and change, 220 and change, run a 4 or 5, they don't play.
How big was Tabucky Jones? He was like 6'2.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Right. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We appreciate you tuning in to this special off-season edition.
We'll be back
next Tuesday with another one. See you next Tuesday.
Papa was a copper and the mama was a hippie. In Alabama, she was swinging a hammer. Price you gotta pay when you break the panorama. She never knew that there was anything more than gold. What in the world does your company take me for? Black bandana, sweet Louisiana. Robbing on a bank in the state of Indiana. She's a runner, rebel.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.